Don Mallard, captain of the U.S. video game team.
When I'm not going to prize scores in the arcades, I'm home playing games on my Atari 7800. As an expert, I like the 7800 because there are great arcade hits like Mario Brothers and Donkey Kong Jr.
Adventure games like Impossible Mission, sports games like Hat Trick and Real Sports Baseball, action games like Desert Falcon and Karateka, and the 7800 plays all the 2600 games. As a consumer, I like the 7800 because most games cost under 20 bucks.
The Atari 7800. The choice of the expert.
Let's do this. Leroy Jenkins!
Oh, good times. Actually, I never owned a 78. Did you?
No.
Did you own an Atari at all?
A 2600.
The 26, yeah. I played on the 26, never played on the 78, though. My cousin had one. Everybody else had, like, a friend of mine that I used to visit over at her house, she had a ColecoVision. And then my cousin had the 26... the 2600, and that was it. It wasn't until the NES that I really got into any gaming. Oh, no. I take that back. C64.
Okay.
Yeah. Had a C64. So
I didn't realize Karateka was on the 7800. That was the precursor to Prince of Persia.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Well, there's video of it in that ad on YouTube. So.
I loved that game.
Yeah. Welcome to Evil Avatar Radio. This is episode number 90. Well on our way to 100, but episode number 90 here, coming to you live from 1170 WACV here in Montgomery, Alabama. You can join us by, checking out the chat room. All you have to do is go to babypigwin.com/chatroom, or you can find the link over at evilavatar.com. There's a link there and join us in the chat room. Got lots of people in there tonight. Also, you can call us 334-272-9228. I don't know. And you can email us, everyone, at evilavatarradio.com. If you guys are in the chat room wondering where Straximus is, he doesn't have a laptop anymore.
It's dead, Jim.
Welcome to the club.
Might be wondering where Fishbang is, because he's not in there either.
He's playing World of Warcraft.
What are you doing?
I'm
WoW?
No, I've been waiting for the page to load.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it loaded fine for me. Although Cheapy D's in the chat room, he said, you know what this page needs? More Amazon widgets. There's a little bit of space on the left there that's not covered by an Amazon widget. But yeah, Cheapy D from Cheap Ass Gamer is going to be on the show with us tonight. He's in the chat room with us now, so you can jump in there and talk to him if you'd like to. But he's going to be on the show. You can't, however. What's the status on your laptop?
I called, and they said they'd send me an RMA number. That was about a week ago. I still hadn't gotten my RMA number. I should have called them back before now, but I haven't made time.
Yeah. So it's just a wait. That's it. You're just waiting, huh?
Well, I got to call them, because at this point, they're obviously not going to send it to me without some more action on my part.
Man.
So, yeah.
God, that sucks.
I didn't have any problem when the hard drive died. I got that replaced pretty quick, but yeah.
Yeah. All right. All right, welcome to the show. Let's go around the room and see what we played. Since you don't have a laptop, hopefully you got some gaming in somehow.
Yeah. Played a bunch of Mass Effect.
Mass Effect, that's right. Where are you at? Level what?
I don't know, man.
What, you don't know the level of your character?
No.
Oh, okay. I think you're at 16 last time.
Oh, okay. You've been paying more attention than me then.
It is. Zilla Dana, who's in the booth there taking your calls, 334-272-9228. Not only would I watch her increase in her level, but I would see her four achievements constantly move down the line as she gained more and more. Look at that girl go. But we'll get to her in just a second. So, what did you play? Mass Effect. Anything else?
No, that's pretty much it.
All right, enjoying it.
I love it.
All right, good. Glad you do. Dennis, what'd you do over the weekend?
I played a whole lot of Uno.
Did you? You bought Uno?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Last week it was a whole lot of Crackdown because you just got your 360.
Yeah. It's great.
You done with Crackdown or?
No, not yet.
Yeah.
I decided to take a break from it.
How many more? I mean, where are you at?
I've like taking down a couple of Los Muertos, but I haven't like taken down the Kingpin yet at all.
Oh wow, okay.
Yeah, so, I'm still early on.
That's fine. You got a good run to go. You need to get into some co-op on that.
I'm just all about hunting down the Julian.
Hey man, steal your cars before you get rid of the bosses. I'm just saying.
Okay.
If you want that achievement.
Yeah.
Some of those cars disappear once you clear an entire zone of like a particular flavor of guy. Like certain of the rare cars. Like you can steal and take back to your garage and then like fill up so that you get the achievements and everything. That stuff becomes like completely, it just disappears. Because some of them aren't things that are parked in places. Some of them are things that are being, you know, driven around by like really bad dudes. So you have to steal them from the guys. I'm just saying.
I'm all about
steal
that.
Your cars before you clear the bosses. Yeah. That's my tip for the day regarding Crackdown.
All right.
Exactly. But you're going after the agility orbs, huh?
Yes.
All right. Now, you know, here's another tip for you. Start with a map.
Really?
At least you need to try. You need to try. I don't know how many orbs
about
you're
100
in.
Now.
That's fine. Hey, trust me, when you're at 399 and can't find that last one, you'll be wishing you had a map.
Mm-hmm.
But see if you can find a map online. See, we didn't get a chance to do this because they didn't have a map at the time. At least not a very good detailed one of where to go and where to look. But definitely try and go back and get a map. You can still, if you're on that one island and you haven't veered off of it to any other places, then you can still find those others pretty well.
Okay.
But definitely do that because I'm telling you, man, there are still people to this day who have...
Three left, man.
There you go.
Three left.
Three orbs
can't
left.
Find them.
There's some people who still have one. One just annoys the hell out of you. It really, because that's it. All you need is that one left. So you should try to go through it with the map. That's another thing that once you're down to one to go, you can't use a map.
Yeah.
You could, but you know, we talked about this. You're like, I could go through the map, but then if I go through,
you really want to go to all 300 locations looking for just one agility orb?
If you go through, is it 300? I thought it was
500.
Four.
I think it's 500.
500 agility.
500 orb. Agility. What was it?
Was it
300 hidden orbs?
Yeah.
It's three hidden, 500.
That's
agility.
Worser.
I'm just saying, if you, at this point, still know that there are three, then it sounds to me like it would be worth it for you to go back. If you can remember the exact number you're missing, it sounds like there's enough of it in your mind and in your heart still that it might make it worth jumping all over the city to find the last three.
Yeah, definitely. You should go with him, you know, every time he finds one. Do you have this one yet? You know, come over here. Do you have this one yet? Because they're going to be loaded for him.
Yeah.
They're going to be all over the place. For you, you just have to get lucky and pass by and just hear that noise, that faint sound.
Meow. Yeah. Meow. <That's all.
laughs> correct. You jumped into Uno. How do you like Uno?
Oh, I like Uno a lot.
How do you like playing with people who have cameras?
I haven't done that yet.
So you still like Uno then?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. Do you play anything else? Just Uno and Crackdown.
A little bit of Catan.
Okay.
I got Catan. Very, cool. Very fun.
Very cool. Zilladana in the booth. Grab that microphone. You knew we were coming to you. Tell us what you've been playing.
Mass Effect.
And anything else?
No.
Just Mass Effect?
Yeah.
You really like it?
Yes.
Are you done with it yet?
But I'm ready for it to be over.
Okay. What level are you at?
45.
45. You got to, 15 more to get to 60?
You can't get to 60 on one playthrough is what I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that what's your goal? What do you want to do?
Get the achievement for 50 and finish it.
And then be done with it?
And then I'm quitting.
Okay. I was just curious if it is.
No, I like it a lot, but I'm tired of getting my tank dropped down on a little planet and going driving and shooting some guys and getting my tank dropped down on a little planet because that's pretty much all I got left to do before I finish.
Yeah, what are you going to play next? You got to go back to Assassin's Creed.
I started Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. So you need to go back to that, I guess.
Uno.
Uno.
We need to get some Ratchet and Clank.
We need to get some Ratchet. I need to play something on the PS3.
Yeah.
Because I haven't done that yet.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, that's great. That's great. Let's see, James, over to you. What have you got?
What do I have?
What have you been playing? What are you playing right now?
I'm not playing anything. I'm checking my auction. I've made it clear that there's a difference between playing WoW and logging on to check my auctions. That's about all I got to play for the last week, because she was on the Xbox every night. So, and the PS3 is on the same TV as the 360, so there you go. I didn't get a whole lot of time. She was spending every spare moment being a Jane Shepherd, so, which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know. It was extremely funny that... I don't know how many things were there. I can't remember a whole lot of them, like, specifically, but, like, there's any number of things where she's, like, you know... I played the game for, like, 2 hours. She had played it for, I don't know, 500, 600.
30?
Yeah.
Does it tell you in there?
You know, our conversations were full of things like... she'd sit down and watch me for a couple of minutes as I played. And be like, how'd you do that? I'd be like, I push this button.
Oh.
Like advancing the conversations. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, I get so tired, you know, when I go back through a conversation, I realize it's a conversation I've already had. I'm like, yeah, you know, it takes forever to advance through the text. And she's like, advance through the text? You know, so there was like about a dozen of those conversations.
Yeah.
It was like she'd be complaining about a thing, and I'm like, yeah, hit this.
Well, at level
so that didn't really work out too much.
30 or so, I discovered that my tank.
You need to speak up.
Your what?
My tank has a cannon.
Oh,
oh right, yeah, not just the machine gun. It's actually got a large bore cannon.
That made things
on it
a lot easier.
Yeah,
yeah. We'll tell you, you should probably already know. Most games have alt fires.
Did you know that you can upgrade your weapons?
Took me level 35 to figure it out.
No, it was about level 30. Yeah, level 30 was a real...
Level 30 was like a coming-of-age moment for you.
Yes, I upgraded my weapons because that was the first time I'd maxed out on items, and I was like, what are all these things doing?
Wow.
And the people listening like have to understand that usually I play puzzles.
Yeah, no. It's, you know, it really surprised me. It surprised me and, you know, proud of you for going through COD 4, proud of you going through Mass Effect and starting Assassin's Creed. I'm like, wow, she's getting in on this stuff, you know? Instead of asking you, hey, how do you like those arcade games, we're going to start asking you how you like the games that are coming out this week and stuff. Any more Guitar Hero 3? Have you put any more time into that?
No.
Okay. I should be playing a real game.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Well, that's very cool.
She wasn't around much yesterday, so I did get some time into it. I had to. I've softened somewhat in my, you know, feelings toward certain of the problems.
Yeah, if you listen to any of our after shows, you heard
really as really upset about, and I'm still really upset about right. a lot of these things.
No, he doesn't calm down that easily.
This thing absolutely is absolutely hindered by being on the 360, I think, but. Aside from that, I didn't get over those things, but I found a way through them.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was, I thought this was really, really interesting, something I discovered about myself, is that because I was so angry at these things in the game, I always go, like, fairly, you know, lawful good in any of these things when I'm trying to run through them. I just,
right, no, I got you.
That's how I do it. And I just started getting so angry about load times and about, like, stupid conversations. Man, I just turned into a really bad guy in the game, and suddenly I felt so much better about the time I'd spent there. I just abused absolutely everybody. If I thought they went on for one line too long in a conversation and didn't just get me what I wanted, I'd throw them up against the wall, I'd scream at them, I'd make them feel really bad. I realized, wow, this is a whole lot cooler, but... You know, my character's built all wrong because I built, you know, the lawful good background. So I went back, man, and I was just like, this guy is borderline psychopath. I'm going to rebuild my dude and just from the get-go be like, you know, neutral, neutral, neutral. Okay, now I'm mad. And so that's how every single conversation went. Now I'm having a lot more fun. I'm having a tremendous amount of fun now. It's just like, every single person I've got just a little bit, you know, I can't be mean to like to the jelly things.
Yeah.
How can you be mean to the jelly thing?
They don't do anything to you.
No, it's
James
fine.
Reminds me of Den, the Volus ambassador. The, you know,
little
angry guy.
Little, yeah.
It's, you know, Earth Clan.
Right.
Mass Effect. Chastising rebuke, James.
Right.
I'm playing, like, the nicest colonist adept Jane Shepherd, nice to everybody. So it's really fun to watch him. Be a guy, first of all, and then punch people in the face when they're talking to them. I didn't know that's what the option would do, but right. I really think they've got other
so
options.
So that's every single thing we have. Like, early on when you're on Eden Prime, and there's, like, you break into the one, the little storage container where the two scientists are hiding.
I haven't been able to get in that storage container.
Oh, well, you have to open the door.
Well, yeah, but, like, it was the first time you come up to one of the little things where you hack something.
Oh, right,
and,
right.
And
it's a little, yeah, it's a little
and
confusing.
So the thing comes up, and it's like, it failed. I'm like, what? I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so
I had to reload, like, 4 times before I figured it out.
Just because
I had to figure it out.
And then Becky plays through it, and she gets to that point, and I explained to her beforehand what's going to happen, and it comes up, and she doesn't do anything. It failed, so I had not seen
it. Yeah, you got to be, like, on the ball with the pushing the buttons.
Yeah.
And stuff.
It was about the fourth time it came up before I figured out what was going on and got it.
But, like, I got in there, and there's this chick, and she's like, oh, they attacked, we hid. And then there's, like, this crazy, like, doomsday guy, you know, this other scientist who's yakking on about the end of the world and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got, I got tired of his crap. And, so, and I just knocked him out, like, you know, jacked his jaw, man, and laid him out on the floor. I was like, this is going to be the best way to play this game. Every time I'm angry about a load screen, you know, every time I get a little bit tweaked about this thing hitting the disc 95% of the time, I'm just going to go be mean to somebody. That's cool. I think I've had, like, 5 points total on my Paragon side. Everything else has been Renegade. I'm extremely happy with it now. In that regard, I'm glad to have found a point where I can deal with the story. Actually like most of the characters, which is a little bit surprising. But, yeah, I'm enjoying it a lot.
Good.
My party, they're stupid. They're still too stupid. It's been years we've been trying to figure out how to get AI characters that play with you and are actually, you know, helpful but not too helpful, you know, not too much of a hindrance, and they're still stupid. I still just have to leave them sitting somewhere while I go do everything.
In regards to, like, the problems you were talking about last week, though, it hasn't been, like, that noticeable for me. I mean, I notice it from now, you know, time and again.
Right.
But it's never been so distracting as to, like, make me upset or...
It was the fact that it was there at all that made me upset. Because I've seen things done that I consider to be of equal quality visually that didn't do things like that at all. And it's just, I don't know. The load stuff isn't the worst thing in the world. It's aggravating, but like I said, I can get over it. A lot of it has to do with just, it seems like it's, I don't know, man. It's just real, real limited scope for the design of this game. I'm not terribly happy about it at all, but, you know, the other things, the rest of the game, pursuing the story. I love the Normandy. If I could just walk around in the Normandy all the time, that's pretty cool. I like the Normandy. I like spaceships. And anybody who puts any amount of...
The world's just so rich and the you know, the characters varied. And, you know, one thing that stands out in particular that a lot of games don't do, they you know, kind of do the Star Wars... I mean, not Star Wars, the Star Trek deal where every race has, like, their own particular personality.
Yeah.
And Mass Effect certainly doesn't do that, you know. The first time I ran into the Volus Ambassador, you know, I thought, oh, these guys are going to be short and angry.
Right.
But, like, you know, he's, like, the only angry one I've encountered so far. The rest are, you know, pretty polite.
No, I would not slight the character development at all, but I don't find the world itself particularly rich and varied. I find the world itself to be, you know, like a bunch of shoeboxes strung together. Like, I find it extremely small, you know. I think that, like, the idea of the wards as it's presented out the window is very nice.
It's not as small as I envisioned it after hearing you talk about it.
Oh, it's, well, it's...
Because it's not as small as
smaller than I
had.
It feels about the same as KOTOR did to me.
Really?
Maybe a little bit bigger, but no, not much. I mean,
I'm having so much fun pursuing the story, though, and just enjoying...
Story's great. Characters are great. The world building, leaves an awful lot to be desired, in my opinion. But that is what it is. And the game's, you know, working under some severe limitations. So, like I said, I'm not necessarily cutting it any slack, but I've definitely just, you know, I'm not choosing to be hung up on the things that still make me angry. I am having a good time looking at the things that I really do enjoy.
Speaking of, Johan in the chat room asks, exactly how frequent and long are the load times?
It kind of... It's really strange. It sort of depends on what you're doing. The things that really anger me are, you know, walking down a hallway, not going to one of the elevator break sequences, or walking through an airlock, or doing anything like that that results in an acceptable load time,
mm-hmm.
or even the load times after I die. That kind of aggravates me, since I'm going right back to the place where I died. Seriously, you got to reload all that stuff, but whatever. It's mostly the fact that the thing is streaming off the disc all the time. So a lot of times if you do something that the game doesn't, you know, the game's using a lot of prediction to figure out where you're going, what to stream next, what to dump from RAM, all these other things. And a lot of times if you do something a little bit strange, the action just halts while it loads, like while you turn a corner or something like that. Really don't like that sort of stuff. That's extremely jarring to me.
It's very, very brief, though. It's just a moment, a split second, you know, hiccups for a second, and then you just keep
scrolling. Or a series of seconds. I mean, it kind of depends on where you are and what you're doing.
Mostly, I haven't experienced that yet.
Mostly it happens on the Citadel. in a place like
that.
Yeah, it happens pretty frequently, and it isn't just my machine. It's common enough.
I don't know if it's like, you know, if it has something to do with that I'm playing in standard def, so it's not having to render as, you know, high resolution. Could have something to do with it, but
I honestly don't know. But it's still
a split second for me.
I actually like the elevator loading. I think I said this last week. The early complaints I had heard about the game before I started playing it were that it was the elevator load sequences that were so annoying. Those, I think, are fine. Because every time you accomplish some kind of goal out there in the universe, in the galaxy, somewhere, you'll get these news updates in the elevators kind of talking about what you did. You know, a little bit of a story update. Sometimes you get a news thing that then puts a little mission in your mission log. That's really cool. Sometimes whatever two characters you have up in your party will strike up a conversation that's relevant,
really cool.
Very, very relevant just to those two characters. The perspectives of, you know, that like this one alien guy might have about, you know, the, you know, how this one human person is doing something. And if it was any two different people, might be something similar in conversation, but the context would be totally different. That's great.
Yeah. I actually rode up and down an elevator about four or five times last night before logging off because I really, really, really wanted to hear something about, you know, there was this mission where you bug the air traffic control to, like, help break this story. I was like, I want to hear the story.
Yeah.
So I kept riding. I never did get to hear anything about it. I was like, well, maybe later.
No, that's really, really good. Like I tried to say earlier, it's mostly just some of the limitations in world building and the fact that, you know, this game doesn't install to the hard drive, so it spends most of its life streaming information off the disk. And that results in certain hindrances to gameplay that I don't like. And I thought that, frankly, I didn't want to see that anymore in this generation of hardware, because I know that we're capable of sort of moving beyond it. But whatever, you know, I don't want to belabor that point.
Too late.
The things we've already talked about. No, what I'm saying is I'm not going to talk about how ruins a game for me. There's a lot of good stuff in there, but it doesn't excuse all this other stuff. And that was sort of one of my problems with everyone else's opinion of the game, is that a little bit of the conversations we'd had before about, you know, 5 stars for this game, even though it really does have all these problems, but 5 stars nonetheless. No. It's not a 5-star game. It's a really good game. Maybe 4. Not 5. It has problems. So, I don't know. Maybe this game will actually be improved by not being the next two games in the series not being exclusive to the 360. I don't know. Probably not, but we'll see. Anyway, yeah, that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Started playing Resistance, too. Finally. Just now that we've got word of Resistance 2 coming out.
Like it or don't like it, that's all you got to tell me.
What, Resistance?
So far, yeah.
Yeah, I like it a lot, actually.
All right, cool. No need for that.
I can go on.
We don't have the time.
I like it a lot. I didn't think I would, but I do.
What did I play this weekend? It wasn't Mass Effect. I played Rock Band a little bit Friday night. Bone and the girl had gotten it. They borrowed it from a friend of theirs. The game, the microphone, and the guitar. And so we played a little bit online Friday night. And then Saturday, did you pick up Aegiswing,
yes.
Dennis? Okay, good. Saturday we played some Aegiswing, being a couple of guys from EVAV. And then we played Burnout Revenge after that, which was good to get back into that. It was fun. It was neat. What else did I play? I downloaded the Japanese demo of Burnout Paradise on the PS3.
Yeah, for the different car?
Yeah, for the different car. It's got a speed rating of 4 instead of 1.
Right.
It's a little Japanese car. And so you can definitely tell the speed difference, especially on jumps, especially on the beach, whenever you hit those barrel roll ramps. There are certain ways you can hit those ramps if you hit the elevated parts with the full part of your car and not kind of off slant so that you can do a barrel roll. If you hit it with the full part of your car, it'll send it way, you know, way up in the air. But on these little Japanese cars, man, they go very high. They fly. Same thing when you wreck. Your car, it doesn't have a lot of weight to it. So a lot of the times when you wreck, you're going to get airborne from rolling around in there, which was a lot of fun again. So very excited for the release of Paradise, which comes out. We are 8 days away. 8 days away from the release. Comes out next Tuesday. So looking forward to that a whole lot. Hopefully we'll, you know, I'll talk about that on the after show of maybe what we'll have in concern with that. So let's see, what else did I play? that was about it. Tomb Raider again, played some more Tomb Raider Anniversary. Did that, and so that was it. That was pretty much all I did over the weekend as far as gaming was concerned for me. Let's see. Let's take our only break of the hour, and then when we come back, we'll hit some of the news and some of the releases that are coming up this week for you. And also, we'll be talking with Cheapy D next hour from Cheap Ass Gamer. And don't forget, you can join us in the chat room. It's bapenguin.com/chatroom, or you can call us 334-272-9228, or you can email us, everyone, at evilavatarradio.com. This is Evil Avatar Radio. We'll be right back in just a bit. And welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV. Found that. It was from Uncharted. Back when we had the guys from Naughty Dog on the show. So, good to have that back. Good to have some music. It's not the the old 8-bit stuff that we were using. I vow never to use it again.
Never's a long time, man.
It is, but I vow never to use it again. You may hear that one again, but you won't hear the you won't hear the 8-bit stuff again anymore. Maybe. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Let's go over the weekly release real quick before we jump into the news and see what's coming out this week. Not a whole lot. Just looking over it real quick. Nothing even worth mentioning. All right, so... all right, fine. Corvette Evolution for the DS, CSI for the Wii, Carrier Strike Force, Flat Out Head-On for the PSP, Fru Park, I think. Miami Knights for the DS, Nitro Bike for the Wii, Nano Stray 2 for the DS, and Samurai Warriors for the Wii. On the Virtual Console, we get Riot Zone from the TurboGrafx 16 Days for 800 Wii Points, and Pack Attack from the SNES for 800 Wii Points there. And in the arcade this week, we got Boogie Bunnies for 800 MS Points. Boogie Bunnies. That's right. Anyway, in theaters, we got Cloverfield this week in the theaters.
I'm looking forward to that.
And a lot of people are. I don't know.
It could be
You know what he's going to do to you.
Yeah, I've already known. I've ridden the J.J. Abrams train before, and I've fallen off that cliff many times.
Can't see. It's going to be, you know, I don't know.
It's going to be black smoke.
It's going to be, yeah, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, I know.
It's not going to be good. Maybe I'm wrong. I'd be happy to be wrong. I probably won't be wrong, though. It's not going to be anything good. It's going to be a big old red herring, and then it's going to stink, and there you go.
Really? I mean, he hasn't... like, the first season of Lost, I think, he entertained me with, and the first season and a half of Alias he entertained me with, but after that, nada. It's just... It's never
been
there.
I'd go beyond saying it was just entertaining. It was good.
Yeah.
The first season and a half of Alias was really good. But, you know, then he remembered that he's J.J. Abrams and he has to completely neuter his entire storyline, so.
Well, maybe since he's not telling, an ongoing story.
See, that's the hope.
Focus on,
yeah, right, that's
just
the hope.
Story and do it.
I just worry that his problem is going to scale to the project. So somewhere around minute 95, the whole thing's going to just disintegrate.
Polar bears everywhere.
Yeah, man, it's going to be polar bears and I don't know, whatever. I don't know. It's not like I'm not going to pay the money to go see it. Of course I am.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what you got coming out this week. Looking back at some of the news that we had, there was a rumor of a BioShock prequel that could be the next game in the series that we get. Could be a prequel to that.
I don't want a prequel to BioShock. I want a sequel.
I kind of want a prequel, but then again, you finished the game and I haven't, so...
We need both in the same game.
Yeah. I would even be satisfied. I'd be satisfied for a prequel novel. I would love the whole thing about Rapture and Andrew Ryan was just, I'm in love with that idea, those thoughts, and seeing something further fleshed out. I'd like to have it fleshed out beforehand. I'd like to see all that stuff leading up to it and the construction of Rapture and everything else. I'd love to read all about
now,
that.
Now, it's the conversation that came up right after the game was released was that this was a perfect candidate for the Half-Life style of expansion pack, just like Opposing Forces and Blue Shift, things that were happening either in and around the narrative of the original game or just prior to or just after. That would be an extremely...
Mm-hmm.
Because the world of Rapture was... It was obviously an extraordinarily large environment, but the character was, your player was relegated to certain portions of the environment, you know, because of structural failure or happenstance or whatever. So it's exactly the kind of thing where it would be really great to find yourself as another person in different parts of that city, seeing the storyline from a different perspective.
Yep.
I think it would be really, really, really good.
Yeah.
They can make up for that complete Andrew Ryan miscarriage where they, you know, the story ended an hour and a half before mm-hmm. you finished the game. You know, they could really expand on the story that they were telling and maybe recover from some of the late game flaws
right.
that they had, in my opinion. That's how I'd like to see it approached, personally. Not just you know, another entirely separate game.
I'll take either or. I'm really interested in the history leading up to what happened in Bioshock. I'm really interested in everything that led into that. What else? You know, something that I meant to bring up last week on the show that I didn't do was, you know, the Street Fighter 4 footage was released.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of that?
Man, I loved that.
Yeah?
That was fantastic.
Some people are put off by it, but yeah, you haven't seen it yet? Mm-hmm. Okay. It's all over, Game Trailers, I think, has got it, and Game Videos. Because 1UP was the first one to show that off. But yeah, GameVideos.com has you know, in-game footage all
over. What's the problem with it?
Some people don't like some of the facial animations, but otherwise, they're pretty much down with it. They like what they're seeing.
Okay.
And all of that. And I was just curious what you guys thought of it. But you haven't seen it yet.
I wouldn't necessarily have a strong opinion either way.
Yeah, because I'm not really big into the Street Fighter stuff. But, you know, when I saw the trailer for that, the teaser, I guess you could say, I was like, well, where are they going with this? What are they doing? You know, I really wanted to see more. And what I saw, I was like, okay, that's good. It's 2D and 3D, but kind of, I don't, you know, it's...
Well, it's a you know, 2D gameplay with 3D graphics. It's been done before, but, you know...
But just never with Street Fighter.
They did Street Fighter EX, which was terrible.
Really?
It wasn't done by the same studio, though. It was given out to a third party. I don't think it's considered part of the official, you know, canon or whatever anymore.
Well, on that same vein of thought, what do you think about Vader and Yoda in Soul Calibur?
Yeah.
Okay. That was a surprise. When I saw that, I was it's just, what? You know?
Yeah.
Of course, I guess it was the same reaction I had when they put Link in it for the GameCube version, and then they put Spawn in it for the Xbox version, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then the guy from Tekken.
Heihachi.
Yeah, thank you. Glad you're here. but yeah, maybe you should read the chat room roll call. But Vader and Yoda.
I'm having Masters of Terror Sky flashbacks.
That's what a lot of people have said. Oh, wait a second, I've already done this. Yeah, exactly. Vader for the PS3 version exclusively, and Yoda for the Xbox 360 version. So, I don't know. There you go. I was just curious again. Yeah.
I haven't really been a big fighting game guy since Street Fighter Alpha 3. That was the last one that really I was really able to sink my teeth into. Well, some of the Marvel vs. Capcom stuff, and but that was the last one I really sunk a lot of time and energy into.
Goodness. Oh, well, you know, I don't know. I think that game comes out this year, and it totally blew people, you know. It's like, what the, you know.
Yeah.
It's just out of nowhere. Here's Darth Vader and Yoda in a Soul Calibur game.
Oh, we're back to Soul Calibur.
No, that's what I was talking about.
I was still dwelling on Street Fighter.
No, talking about Soul Calibur. You can dwell on Street Fighter. I just can't really add too much to it, because I've never been into that series. Marvel vs. Capcom I like, though.
Yeah,
I did enjoy that. That's something they could put on the arcade.
Sure.
As well.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Another thing they could put on the arcade, and that I'm not sure exactly what the status on this is, but GoldenEye.
Well, apparently not.
Apparently it was greenlit and worked on, I think, and then it was canceled. I'm not exactly sure.
To,
yeah, there's an
agreement on how to split the money between Microsoft and Nintendo.
Exactly, there's a licensing agreement there that it's court issues, which Microsoft apparently is going through some court issues here lately. So, but yeah, GoldenEye was something. I think there's a petition out there. We all know how well those things work. If you want to keep GoldenEye on Xbox Live Arcade or actually bring it there, I don't know. You go ahead, sign it, sure, but not sure if it's going to make it there or not. And yeah, Microsoft being sued for the Xbox Live outages. Have anybody? I still had a problem this weekend with it. Sunday, I had a problem with it. I was still in the same situation I was before, where it would tell me that I'm signed in, but my dashboard would still tell me to connect to Xbox Live. It's like, hey, you're not online. But right. It would tell me, oh, you've got 15 friends online, but I couldn't look at them unless I went to the dash blade.
Right.
You know, you press the Xbox button on your controller, and it brings out that little side blade. Then I could look and see who was online. But my main dash, my Xbox Live blade on the screen, still wasn't connected. Marketplace was not there. I couldn't get into Marketplace either.
Man.
But this was only on Sunday. Saturday, no problem. You know, that's when I played my Aegis Wing and my Burnout Revenge online with everybody else. Had no problem with that. Sunday, though, ran into the problem again. So, lots of stuff going on. They're sued now, so Microsoft is not allowed to talk about the status of Xbox Live.
Oh.
They can't tell us what's going on now because they're being sued. So, there you go.
So, now they have an excuse for not talking about
anything.
It.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they were going to be so open about it, but wouldn't you know we got sued. So now we can't talk about it. Because
you know
they're so forthcoming with all of the reasons that they screw things up all the time.
Well,
I'm just saying. I haven't had any problems in, you know, this last half week.
Mm-hmm.
But if the number of reconnects and disconnects I've seen of friends popping back on for like the 15th time in the span of an hour isn't any indication, then yeah, it's pretty nasty. Not lawsuit nasty, but I don't know. I guess you could maybe say take your money elsewhere nasty, but that really doesn't work too much either.
Kotaku talked to an Xbox group marketing manager, and he said that there was no malicious activity. It was a combination of two things, server strain and lack of staff. Apparently, Xbox Live went from 9 million to 10 million users in no time flat over the holiday, combined with the fact that they had the single largest day of concurrent users ever. Microsoft underestimated the number of people signing up, and that's when things went haywire. So,
and didn't he say that after the statement that Major Nelson made that we can't talk about the live status because of the lawsuit?
No, this was on the 10th, and the lawsuit just happened, I believe it was yesterday. Or at least it was on Major Nelson's podcast. He said, yes, it's in litigation, so I cannot comment on that anymore. And that podcast went up yesterday.
Okay.
And so that was when we heard the first news about it. So that's what it looks like. But yeah, and we still don't know what free game we're getting. Again, this is a situation where we've got free arcade. Well, we don't have free arcade games. We've got Xbox Live arcade games hitting the store. I don't really want to pick one up yet until I know for sure what it is I'm getting for free as far as an Xbox Live arcade game is concerned. Too many times have I jumped into that boat early, and didn't have any water to swim in later. So that's the problem with that.
Well, we were
so,
talking about this earlier. It's a real simple fix on there.
Oh, no, it is.
Because a lot of people aren't buying things right now because they don't want it to turn out to be the thing that's later given out free. If Microsoft would simply say, a future release will be given away free because of this problem, and when it comes out, before it comes out, instead of announcing the price, we'll tell you that this is your free game.
Mm-hmm.
That way you can go back to, spending lots of money on current arcade titles.
Things like Boogie Bunnies.
Or other things.
Exactly.
I'm just saying, it seems like they could have done that a little bit better, because I can't imagine that, you're the only person who's not buying anything right now.
No.
They'll purchase a soon-to-be free title.
Not at all. I'm quite sure of it. Let's see what else we have. Metal Gear Solid 4 is nearly done, which, now you've got a PS3, James, something you can look forward to.
Yeah, now I can be bothered to look forward to it.
Yeah.
Before, I could just be scornful.
Yeah.
Now I can be scornful and anticipate actually playing it.
Best of both worlds.
Right.
Let's see what else happened here. We've got
Resistance 2.
Yeah.
Come on.
Man.
That's actually a really big news item, if the little bullet points are to be believed.
I want to believe. Well, you've got the where's the magazine? You got the magazine.
Jeremy's looking at.
It's in Game Informer. And the bullet points are, we're looking at 8-player story-driven online co-op.
You can read from it as well.
8-player online co-op.
Okay, are they going to completely change what kind of game Resistance is?
I'll tell you now, we have 8 minutes, so go ahead.
No, I mean, you need to respond to this a little bit as well, because we did Halo 3 with 4-player co-op the entire way through the entire game. Every minute of that game we handled it with 4-player co-op.
Fun.
Sometimes it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it was a nightmare, because for at least a third of those levels, they had no business cramming 4 people into, you know, some of those hallways, some of those doorways, some of those firefights, some of the bottlenecks were absolutely not designed for 4 friendly players. It was too crowded. You couldn't get anywhere or do anything just because of the nature of how they wanted you to move through the environment. Some of the environments, it was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And we were only, you know, able to beat it on that level of difficulty, I think, because of the number of people we had and that we were really well coordinated. So, seriously, like, 8-player co-op, you're going to have to be extremely careful about your level design and about how you approach the environments if you think 8 people are going to work in them.
Yeah, well, apparently the single-player campaign is different from the co-op campaign, so maybe that's a whole...
It doesn't matter, wherever you put them. I'm just saying anywhere you put them, you need to... It's a simple thing. You need to make space for 8 people.
Yeah.
In a cooperative way. 8 people who are all trying to do the same thing. Shoot those guys over there.
Yeah.
Not 8 people who are working against each other, 8 people on a deathmatch map or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, specifically designed to work in, to tell a story, to be moving you through from one point to another, but accommodate that number of people. I don't know. So, I'm not saying they can't do it. I'm just saying it's a big deal.
Yeah, it is.
Just because there are games we've played that are really great with 4 people in co-op, and then at other points aren't.
And I would hope by fall 2008, when the release is supposed to be scheduled for this, we would be able to have 8-player co-op. So far, it's you and I.
And a couple of guys
from EVAV. Yeah, we do.
We got people out there. We'll have people.
What else?
To the magazine. It's a huge reason to own a PlayStation 3.
Yeah, well,
not that we haven't already had one, but
60-player online PvP.
That's pretty cool.
60 players.
That's pretty cool.
Now let's find 60
how many
people
times
to play with.
You don't need to find 60 people
to play with.
They're out there.
But we talked about this a little bit. How this is one of the advantages that Sony has over Microsoft, because for the most part on Xbox Live, you're only going to find the 16-player co-op.
Because it's all peer to peer.
Tops, you know? You're really not going to get above
that.
Every
server's a listen server.
Yeah.
You know? No dedicated servers.
Whereas on the
PS3,
you've got
those. There's only so far you can go with that. And that's understandable. But there's a limited number of connections that that an individual's cable modem can, you know, deal with. That one guy hosting the game on
Xbox.
You've
been in those big matches before, though, on the PC, right?
Yeah.
What was the largest you had ever been involved with?
I don't know. It kind of depends on what you're talking about. I mean, there's a certain crossover element to PlanetSide, which was a...
See, I was thinking PlanetSide or Tribes.
They were similar in a way. I would say that back during the PlanetSide beta, there were individual firefights centered around a particular location, say within, a quarter square mile, where you'd have, 300-400 people moving in and around. There were some people that hacked off the upper limit of the tribes, the user connections for tribes, and I played in some 64-player maps there, which was just psychotic. It was almost pointless.
Wow.
But a lot of it, as long as you're approaching the idea of a PvP battle from the right direction, if you're doing the right thing, if you're not just trying to have deathmatch, but if you're doing something that 60 people can actually work in, then yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to a lot more details on this. Let's go to the phones real quick. Slipstream's online. Slip, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You're calling... Where are you calling us from?
Belgium. Antwerp, actually.
Belgium. All the way from Belgium. We got about 3.5 minutes left for the top of the hour, and then we've got to go. But what do you want to call in? What do you want to talk about?
I'm going to play the club demo.
The club demo. That's right. There was the club demo hit the PlayStation Network about a week or two ago, and then last week it hit Xbox Live, right?
Yeah.
Which version did you play?
The 360 version.
The 360 version? What'd you think?
It was different, I guess.
You what is
shoot
it?
Guys, and then link it through sprinting.
So
there's a counter that counts down from the moment you shoot someone, then you have to link it with another shot. Oh, when you do a trick before you shoot someone, you get more points. It's different.
Huh. Sounds like first-person SSX or something. I don't know. Linking
something like
combos with shots and stuff. So, I mean, how long did you play it before? I mean, what was your... After it was done, was this something that you thought, well, I'm looking more forward to this game than I was, or now it's, like, off your radar?
I'm definitely looking forward to it more than before.
Okay, good. Well, there you go. I met you at PAX, and so hearing you say that... In fact, some of the games that you got, Jeremy, for me when I got back from PAX, came from this kid.
Oh, hey, thanks, man.
Yeah, he brought them there. He put up a thread, and he's like, I'm going to be at PAX. Anybody want some games? I was like, I'll take all five of whatever it is that you've got.
Yeah, I'll be doing that again this year.
You're going to do it again this year?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like Santa slipstream. He's bringing us gifts from
like that, yeah.
Belgium. That'll be great,
it's
man.
It's not exactly North Pole, but...
No, it's not. And you look nothing like Santa Claus. But, yeah. So you're going to be at PAX again this year?
I should be.
Well, I hope you are. I know it's a long trip for you. You're the guy that spends more time in the air than he actually does at PAX, or on a plane than you actually do at PAX.
About 15 hours.
Ugh.
Twice, so.
Oh, God. Well, we look forward to seeing you there. Tell us about the club. Look, like I said, hearing from you, I'm going to download the demo now and give it a shot and see what this thing's about, especially when you're talking about, combo kills with first-person shooter. It's kind of interesting. Kind of like the arcade mode of COD 4, but I haven't played that yet. Still.
Third-person shooter, actually.
Oh, it's a third-person. Okay. See, that's how much I know of that game.
There's about 8 characters, but the demo only gives you one, and there's no multiplayer, except for split-screen.
So there's
full game should have online multiplayer, but it's not in the demo, so.
All right, cool. Well, man, I appreciate you calling in from Belgium all the way. Thanks for what time is it there?
It's about 2:95 a.m.
Wow. Goodness. Thanks for staying up.
No problem.
Do you have to work tomorrow?
No, I've got 2 days off.
Hey, well, there you go. There you go. Stay up. Stay up longer and listen to the rest of the show. Thanks for calling in, man.
Bye. No problem.
Bye-bye. Bye. Good to hear from him. We got about 30 seconds left here, and the top of the hour is coming up. We're going to be talking to CheapyD from CheapAssGamer.com coming up next, so stick around for that. And we got more news as well. Lots of stuff coming up next hour here on 1170 WACV with Evil Avatar Radio. And welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV. Music, that's from Command & Conquer Generals there. Again, like I said, we'll get rid of the 8-bit stuff. We won't go back to that for a good while. Anyway, welcome to the second hour. And
it
on this hour...
It only took us a year to...
It took us a year, yeah.
To kind of get off.
Close to a year. We're not... I gotta find the old episodes.
It's a year, dude.
February 2nd,
like,
I believe,
like
is the year.
More shows, it's a year.
February 2nd is the year anniversary of what we've been doing here. Not necessarily Evil Avatar Radio, just
no,
what
us.
We have been doing.
Back when it
took us a year to do what?
Get out of the 8-bit music return.
Well, we were nothing for a while.
Yeah.
We were the unnamed show for a while.
That's right, we were.
For five episodes or something like that.
We didn't have a name, and then we had the big vote on it and everything else. It was...
And then we went with something that...
And then we went totally different way. Everybody voted for something. We're like, we're going to do something different. That's right, democracy in action.
We're jerks.
That too. On the line with us right now, we've got CheapyD, David Abrams from... you're in Japan, right?
I am in Tokyo.
Wow.
Konnichiwa.
Yeah, konnichiwa. Did I say that right? I think so.
Close enough.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good. Anyway.
He said it like 5 seconds after he said it.
That's how bad I am. I can screw up like that.
Within 5 seconds of hearing someone else say it.
Less, I would
and
say.
And it's a good thing you're in radio.
It's great. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for talking to us tonight, man. What's going on over there in Japan? What time is it there?
It is, let's see, it's about about 11 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday.
And what are your plans for today?
Well, right now I'm holding a baby, so he's going to pretty much dominate my plans for the entire day. I anticipate a lot of diaper changes and feedings, and, you know.
Do you get an achievement for that?
This is pretty much the highlight of my day right now, talking to you guys. So.
Jeremy wanted to know if you got an achievement for that.
No, I don't. I have a garbage can full of stinky diapers.
So, you know, again, we should mention this is Cheapy D from CheapAssGamer.com. A lot of people were like, can you say cheap ass on the air? Yes, you can. It's all about context. So, yeah, first off, let me, on behalf of a lot of other people, thank you for saving me money.
My pleasure.
You've saved me a ton of money over the years. Well, let's see. I've been over there since October of 06 now.
Okay. So over the year.
Over the year, basically, yeah. I went over there. What was I? I was over there for something. I can't remember what. Oh, I remember what drew me there. The Black Friday deals.
Yes.
Getting posted over there, and that's when I first started posting over at Cheap Ass Gamer, and you know, discovering this place that was like, oh my god, it's great. I don't have to pay full price for games. I can find these things really cheap. I can take advantage of mistakes by the retailers or whatever else is out there, and you know, not spend so much money on games that are, these things are so expensive now. $60 for a game.
I know, and if you're willing to wait a little while and you're not a slave to the release schedule.
Talking to the wrong guy.
Well, even still, I mean, if you're willing to wait a little bit, you can get really good deals, and if you are someone who needs to get the games right when they come out, usually the big box retailers like Circuit City and Best Buy and Target, they'll usually put the new release games on sale, on Sundays, through mm-hmm. On their weekly sales that come out on Sunday.
Right.
So there's good deals to be had all around, really.
You just got to be patient and let them crop up. You know, we had the, what was it this past week? We had the Walmart thing go on. Smash Brothers. For $20 and a bunch of other games that were discounted over at Walmart.com, which of course,
but those are all obvious pricing errors. Mm-hmm. And I personally, I never post those on the front page. People, I'm not going to limit what people put in the forums. You know, I let them decide if they want to try to, exploit something like that. I mean, I really, something like a situation like that, it's so obvious that this is a mistake. You know, no. Walmart's not selling a brand new release game for $20 pre-order. It makes no sense. And plus, there was a ton of other games that had similar mistakes. So clearly, it was a pricing error.
Yeah.
But it was huge, and people went crazy. And it's the internet, and it winds up on Dig, and every website basically posts it. And I don't take advantage of stuff like that, and I never promote it on our front page. But that certainly doesn't stop a lot of people from going after it. And I knew they were going to cancel the orders anyway, so it was all pretty much a waste of time. But such is the way things spread like wildfire on the internet.
Exactly, that's the way it goes. Now, give us wait a second. Let's hang on. There's somebody on the phone that wants to speak to you. Okay. Let me conference in the call. Make sure they're there. Caller, are you there?
Hello, my name is Gerster Scufferson. I'm also from Antwerp. Very popular show in Antwerp.
It sounds like a lot like Wombat.
You would be
correct. I want to know, why no Wombat on show?
Wombat's always trying to like horn in on my action. He gets very jealous if Wombat's the co-host of the CADcast, which
is
a podcast.
No, Wombat, stay with us. Yeah, stay with us. It's CADcast and Event Radio. Why not? Let's just do it that way. Wombat, where are you calling from?
I am calling from Massapequa, New York.
All right, cool, very cool. Let's see. Well, how did you... Okay, back to you, GPD, for just a second. Give us the history on Cheap Ass Gamer. How did that come about?
Basically, I was, like so many of us, I'm, sitting in an office somewhere, pretending to do work, but really, surfing the internet. And I had my friend of mine, Robert, he was really into this site called bensbargains.net. Which is like a general deal site. They have deals for everything. And every day he'd be shooting me emails throughout the day. He's like, oh, You can get a hard drive, a 120 gig hard drive for $40, or, you know, a fax machine for $5 after eBay. They're firing these deals at me. So I check out the site, and, you know, pretty quickly I got addicted to it. I'm like checking it all the time. Now, being a big gamer, I was really most interested in the video game deals, but they were sort of mixed in there with everything else, and they were definitely overshadowed by all the other deals that were out there. So I got into this whole bargain hunting thing, and I started, you know, searching all the online retailers for cheap video game deals. So what I would do is I'd go to, like, ebgames.com, and I would just, you know, there's ways to sort through the games mm-hmm. by lowest price. So I would just be doing that and, you know, going page after page to see which games were, you know, actually cheaper than they ought to be, you know, actually discounted, not just, you know, MSRP.
Right.
So I was doing that, and I was thinking to myself, you know, I really wish there was a site where, you know, like Ben's Bargains, but just for video games, where we could just have a collection of all these video game deals. And I decided to make it myself. I always wanted to try to make a website just as like a hobby, little project. But I didn't really have any programming experience. I didn't know anything. So I basically just faked it. I, you know, Google was very helpful. Anytime I, you know, needed to know how to do something, I would just Google it. And that's how Cheap Ass Gamer came to be.
And who came up with the name?
I came up with the name. You know, it's pretty hard to find a name that's not already taken.
Yeah.
So I can't remember, like, what names I passed on, but the thing I liked about Cheap Ass Gamer was that it was very memorable. There's a lot of websites out there that, like, either make up words or, you know, they just sound too generic. Like, there's no way to remember them.
Mm-hmm.
But Cheap Ass Gamer, I thought, something you probably wouldn't really forget after you heard it.
Right.
And also, I liked it because it wasn't just the name of a website. It also described, like, the person who'd be using the website.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool. And I remember discussing it with my girlfriend at the time, or maybe she... Yeah, I guess she's still my girlfriend, now my wife. And she wasn't crazy about it, but I was very insistent that I thought it was good and that it would work. And now I say, nah, I was right.
Is that like one of the very few times I guess you can do that, huh?
It was actually one of the very few times that I was right. So.
Now, when did you move out to Japan?
I moved out here in November of 2005, so just a little over 2 years ago. My wife is Japanese. We met in New York, and she's a lawyer, actually. And the reason we moved out here is her job opportunities are really a lot better in Tokyo than they are in New York.
Right.
There's a lot of demand for a bilingual attorney who's admitted in the U.S., you know, because they can work for a foreign company here in Tokyo. And basically, she got a job and, you know, it was a great offer to move out here, and, you know, they paid for pretty much the whole move and, you know, gave us money to buy stuff for the move. You know, we didn't have anything really that was worth moving out there because we were living in my really crappy apartment and we had all my furniture was, you know, super cheap, you know, just terrible stuff. It's not worth shipping across the world. So instead of taking the, you know, they gave us money to move all the stuff, but instead of doing that, we just basically moved our clothes and then took that money and bought new stuff when we got here. But we would definitely, you know, the fact that the company paid for so much of this made
right.
it really possible and an offer that we couldn't refuse.
Yeah, that made the decision a lot easier for you.
Right, and I had a great excuse to quit my real job. Cause at
which,
the time,
which was what?
I worked for a non-profit organization, and they, you know, I was in, like, their fundraising department.
Yeah.
Weren't you doing database entry all day?
No, it wasn't for, hey, calm down over there. I worked on the fundraising database. It wasn't necessarily database entry, but I, you know.
It was a lot like database entry, but it wasn't.
Whatever, dude. You fix fax machines. What do you know?
Oh, wait a second. Let me give Wombat the warning. Did you give him the warning when he called in? Okay, good. Just had to give him the language warning, that's all.
Hey, I'm not the one with the language problem. That's the other guy.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Not a problem.
So, okay, moved out to Japan. Had a child. How old's the child now?
Well, 3 months, so he's new.
Wow. Goodness. And there's a question coming up. In fact, let me go ahead and get to that. I started a thread over at Evil Avatar where people could ask you questions. And Johan asked a question about how you enjoy being a dad. And he doesn't want the stock answer of it being awesome and stuff like that. He wants to know what are some of the challenges that you face. And he's a dad himself and a gamer as well. So,
Well, I'm in a pretty unique situation because my wife just went back to work. So her maternity leave is over. So I'm now Mr. Mom. So I'm home all day with the kid. And, you know, when the kid is sleeping, I do work on Cheap Ass Gamer or play Xbox. But, you know, it's definitely a lot of fun. And I think I think we're lucky in that, you know, Ty is pretty well behaved. As long as he's fed and you pay attention to him, he's not one of these babies that just cries all the time. Sometimes you get stuck with one of those. but it's great. I mean, I look at this kid, he's smiling, he's laughing. It's pretty amazing. There's not many experiences that can compare to this. In terms of, you know, getting your gaming time in, it can be a little bit of a challenge. I mean, I think Ty is going to be very used to the sounds of gunfire because, you know, I play a lot of Call of Duty and other shooting games, and sometimes he's just lying, sitting on my lap, you know, while I'm doing it. I don't let him look at the screen, but he definitely can hear it. And but it's really great. I mean, as long as you don't mind getting your hands a little dirty. with diapers and puke and stuff, it's a great experience. I mean, but it can be definitely scary, you know, because this kid pops out, there's no real instruction manual that comes with him.
Doesn't come with a tutorial, like, does it?
It's like, here's your baby. You go home, and you and your wife staring at each other with a kid. You're like, all right, now what do we do? but it's so far it's been really great, and my mother-in-law comes and helps out a couple days a week, so that's really helpful.
Oh, so are your parents? Where are your parents? Are they in the States or?
My parents are in the States, but. My wife's mom lives in Osaka. You know, we live in Tokyo. It's about a 2.5 hour, 3 hour bullet train ride out here. But I'm more than happy to pay for her to come and take care of the kid, help me out. It's a good investment.
Now, Wombat, when did you get involved with Cheap Ass Gamer?
It was about 2 years ago.
And how?
I sent Mr. D an email, claiming that I was someone very important and that I needed to meet with him in regards to his future.
Yeah.
And that was a big lie. But I was able to trick him. We thought, you know, because this was before we knew what a podcast was.
Right.
We thought we were making, like, a radio demo.
Okay.
And then we put that demo on the website. And people started saying, well, you should do this podcast every week. And we didn't even know what a podcast was.
I didn't have an iPod until recently. I never had heard a podcast. And I still really don't listen to podcasts. But, yeah, Wombat basically sent me an email saying he did work for a talent agency. He worked for Howard Stern's
agent.
And I'm a big Howard Stern fan, so I recognized the email address right away.
Right.
I was like, oh, my God, this is, like, incredible. But it turns out he really just wanted to be on the show. He didn't really want to.
I created the show. I didn't just want to be on it. I wanted to build one.
You wanted to build one, and now he doesn't do anything.
Now I don't, know.
No. He just shows up. He just shows up and talks for 2 hours, and then he's done.
I rest on my laurels, I think is what they call it.
That's good to rest on, actually. I've done that many times.
More comfortable than the floor.
Yeah, it is. let's see. You guys mentioned playing games. What was the last game you played, Cheapy?
I'm playing a lot of Call of Duty 4 online.
Right.
I have a lot of fun with that. I'm not very good. I'm much better than Wombat, though. He's pretty much awful at everything.
I am the worst Call of Duty 4 player that has ever lived.
So you've been at everything, I think. I haven't really seen you excel at any game. Or not even excel, but I haven't even seen you be, like, average at any game.
That's not true. I was pretty good at Crimson Skies.
Oh, I was horrible at that. I can't fly a plane for... Oh, God, it's just... The dog fights and stuff? Couldn't do it. Could not do it.
I'm also playing, I'm trying to finish up Half-Life 2.
Good.
Which is, I'm really enjoying that. I'm still playing Guitar Hero 3. Just, you know, that's a really good pick up and play for 10, 15 minutes type of game. But, you know, it's tough. When you have a kid, it's really tough. You gotta really hustle. The kid's asleep. You're like, all right, I can sneak in some time and play a little bit. I heard you talking about Mass Effect earlier. I finished that recently. Really enjoyed that. I do a lot of, you know, most of my gaming on Xbox 360, but I do have everything.
I know you've got a PS3 and a Wii. I saw you unbox those on YouTube or whatever. And recently you picked up the Wii Fit, right?
Yes, I have Wii Fit, and I haven't really used it very much. I pretty much played it for 2 days, and now it's...
That's exactly what I expected. Not necessarily from you, but just from that device. That's exactly what I expected. You know, novelty wears off quick.
Make it more fun. Like, the problem that I see right now, and maybe they'll fix it for the American release, but, you know, who knows, is that this is the type of game that's, you know, it's another... It could be, like, a pretty fun party game.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's funny to watch, like, especially you have a few drinks in you, you have your friends, you know, jumping up and down. Well, you're not supposed to jump, but, you know, shaking their hips on the board. It's pretty funny, pretty entertaining to watch. The problem is none of the games have multiplayer.
Okay, yeah, that would be, that's a problem.
Turns multiplayer.
Yeah, you know what was the big novelty with the Wii when it first came out? You had Wii Sports in there. Nobody bought any other games, really. I mean, they did. A couple of people picked up Zelda, but for the most part, the majority of people who picked up a Wii, they stuck with Wii Sports because it was
right.
You know, you had your multiplayer in there.
I think people still are.
I mean, I think you can do jogging two players. I think that's the only thing you can do two players. But they really need to fix it. But I'll tell you, it's selling really well in Japan. So I guess Japanese people don't really seem to care.
What were you saying, Wombat?
I would say most people only still have Wii Sports.
Yeah.
I think. I don't think they're that, you know, other games have really become that huge a success.
It's like Wii Sports is their main title and Wii Play is their secondary.
Yeah, because that comes with that controller.
Yeah, well, yeah, which was hard to find for the longest time.
Yeah.
And then they released that and people picked it up. So, yeah, there's that. And you know, I don't know. The Wii for me... Oh, God, I just don't put any time into it whatsoever. Galaxy kept me in there. Smash Brothers will do the same, and maybe Mario Kart. And then after that, I don't know. I guess they'll release the next Mario. They'll just keep, you know, expanding upon those universes, and that maybe keep me hooked. But, you know, I don't know. It's just not...
What's Factor 5 making? Wasn't that announced today?
That was announced today. They're making something for the Wii, yes.
I wonder if it'll be another road game, but I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure.
That I would play.
But I'm not sure exactly what they're doing, but they are doing something for the Wii this time, and it's not Lair Wii. So it's not going to be that. Although, you know, flying a dragon with the Wii would probably be pretty cool.
It works so well with the six-axis controller.
I heard that it did. Did it work? You played it.
I wouldn't say it worked so well.
Oh, okay.
What I had said was that was the least of my problems.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't actually have that too many issues with the controls.
Yeah.
It was everything else.
Yeah.
But the controls, I actually was able to get past pretty quickly.
Well, let's see. What else? We've got some more questions here. Gorby asks, as for a real question, do you regret buying a Japanese 360 to replace your original U.S. 360?
That's a good question, actually. You know, there's only one reason why I regret it. Well, I don't regret it, but there's one reason that's sort of biting me in the butt, and that is I cannot play Rock Band because, unlike almost every other game out there, there is no Asian version of Rock Band. So I have to wait, and the game's still not out. I think once the game is released in Europe, or rather Australia, then I'll be able to play it, because usually those games are... wind up turning into the Asian version. But the nice thing about having a Japanese 360 is that you can play the Asian version of games, and the Asian versions are cheaper. So I can buy pretty much every game from PlayAsia, any new game.
What's the price?
$45? From $40 to $50.
Nice.
And they ship for free to Japan. So I can pretty much save some money that way. For the most part, no, I don't regret it. I do have some American games that are region locked that won't play on the Japanese system.
Mm-hmm.
But I was probably pretty much done with those games anyway.
BA Penguin wants to know when EVAV's going to join forces with CAG, with Cheap Ass Gamer, and become the ultimate gaming website and community.
I don't know. That's a really good question.
Tomorrow.
As soon as I can buy a stake in EVAV, and then we can work something out.
Let's see. What else? What do we have here? I don't know if his name's Hippo or whatever. It's H1PO. He wants to know how you got so freaking awesome.
That's a really
hanging
good question.
Hanging out with Wombat.
Wombat, you can, is that the answer? You rubbed off on me?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not, I'm just a man, you know?
Yeah, well, let's see. Rogue Hunter wants to know, how did GPD get so cheap, and how does he keep getting the scoops on major price cuts and game sales?
How did I get so cheap? I got a confession to make.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm really not that cheap.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess not if you're buying every system when it comes out.
Yeah, at this point, like, now I buy gaming stuff, you know, just so I can talk about it on the CADcast.
Right.
Make a YouTube video. I mean, I bought Wii Fit just so I could make the YouTube video. I had really no interest in it, but, you know, it's a great way to advertise, really. I mean, I can pay $80 for Wii Fit, make a YouTube video, and it'll get 100,000 views. I mean, I can't buy advertising that cheap anywhere.
Yeah.
And also, you know, I like playing games, so I don't mind, you know, if I can get even like a little bit of a deal on a game, like, you know, spend $50 instead of $60, I consider that's good enough for me, and I'll go for it. I mean, just yesterday, I bought the 360 chat pad for really no apparent reason, except I wanted to see what it was like, and I want to talk about it on the CADcast. And actually, I'm using the headset that comes with it right now.
Yeah, see, the headset, and this came up over the weekend. We were playing Rock Band. I was playing Rock Band with some friends of mine who had borrowed the guitar and the microphone and the game themselves, and she couldn't figure out where to plug in her headset. And I was trying to tell her what's on the top, and then I realized that, oh, she doesn't have the headset that I use, that Plantronics headset that just has that regular jack on the end of it.
Right.
And the chat pad headset is built basically the same way. It doesn't have that, it doesn't have that crap sticking all around it that won't attach to anything but, you know, whatever's been made specifically for that. And so, yeah, the chat pad I actually found to be very, very useful.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I was using it to chat with people on MSN yesterday, and, you know, I'm using the headset to talk to you because it can plug into my regular phone, and I needed a new phone headset anyway. So,
go ahead. Yeah, exactly. Praying for Rain wants to know if you're fluent in Japanese.
No, I'm very far from being fluent in Japanese. My Japanese is terrible. I've taken lessons, but at this point in my life, I'm not a very motivated student, and you know, I'm too old for that. Once you're over 30, I think you get late. Well, at least me, I can speak for me. I get kind of lazy, and now I got a kid. I mean, I don't even have time to do it anymore. But you know, I get by. I know enough that I can. I'm not starving, and I can sort of figure out what people are trying to say, and that's sort of good enough.
Just gotta have your wife with you, huh?
Yeah, for anything complicated, I need the wife.
Yeah. Sazume says, can I convince you to send me crazy Japanese McDonald's food?
I don't think it would ship very well.
What is some of that? You just had some crazy Japanese, the Mega Mac or something, wasn't it?
The Mega Mac is basically a double Big Mac. It's got four patties,
God.
You know, instead of two. but I also have a YouTube video of...
How do we not have that here? How is that not a food that comes out in America?
I know. You think that would be in America. Because,
absolutely.
But, you know, they need to watch their image in America because, you know, they're still feeling that the kickback from that Super Size Me movie, I think. So maybe they don't want to do that there. I made a YouTube video of the McPork, which is a pork hamburger, and Filet-O-Shrimp.
The Filet-O-Shrimp was good, though.
It was pretty good, actually.
Yeah, that looked good.
If you go to youtube.com/GBD, you can check out those videos.
The Filet-O shrimp and the McPork.
Right.
Sounds like.
Do they know what filet means?
From The Simpsons.
Because I don't think you can really do that to a shrimp.
Yeah. Can you filet a
little
shrimp?
Shrimps in there. It's basically, yeah, they don't understand, but yeah, exactly. My wife actually, we were talking about this the other day. They don't really, they're not using the word filet right. They don't, they're just copying it from filet-o-fish, because it's basically just a fried patty with little shrimps inside it. But, you know, that's the whole, that's the way Japanese use English here. They don't really care about the meaning or if they're using it correctly. It's a marketing tool.
Right, it's just the association of that particular word with the image of, you know, fried seafood sandwich.
A pork McNugget.
Yeah, I mean, you see English signs all, you know, you see English signs all over the place here and set phrases, and more often than not, they're not used correctly, and it would be very easy for them, I'm sure, to have somebody check it, you know, to see if it's correct, but I don't think they really care. It's just, it looks cool to have English on your storefront, and, you know, it's a marketing thing, and it doesn't need to be grammatically correct or even make sense.
He also wants to know, is your voice naturally that soothing, or was it a learned skill?
No. I haven't learned much, really.
And his final question is, why not cheap pen and paper games? You got a thing against dice?
Do people really still play those anymore? I mean, I used to be a big Dungeons & Dragons guy, but that was a long time ago. I don't know if there's much of a market for those games anymore. It's a very, very niche market.
You played Shadowrun, Wombat?
I played Shadowrun, yes.
Back when it was pen and paper, huh?
Back when it was pen and paper, I was a Decker detective. His name was Domino. He was badass.
What do you think of the game?
Oh, it's the worst game ever.
Oh, he's lying.
No, it's pretty. I have it. I have Shadowrun on the 360. It's terrible.
I know, but you don't hate it.
Okay, I don't hate it. It's pretty bad.
He didn't say he hated it. He just said it's the worst game ever.
You know what? It's the worst use of a great license in the history of video games.
I've actually heard that.
That includes E.T.
Oh, wow. goodness, that's that. Yeah, you do hate it. Gorvy asked, how do you see the overall gaming market in Japan? Is it healthy?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's very healthy. I mean, it's quite literally and figuratively healthy. They just sold 1 million Wii Fits, so people are healthy. The market is healthy.
Yeah.
No, I need them after those double Big Macs.
As long as you're not selling Xbox 360s, then it's pretty healthy. I mean, they can't really do a good job of selling those over here. But everything, you know, the Wiis are selling like crazy. The DSs are selling like crazy. I mean, you should see, like, you walk into a game store here, the DS section is huge. There's so many games, DS games, that are released here that never make it to America. I mean, it's just, it's a huge market. I believe it's the second biggest gaming market in the world after the United States.
India.
After India?
Yes.
You had mentioned in the chat room. Plug yourself. You're going to be on. You're going to be on G4, right?
I'm going to be on G4 Attack of the Show on what is it? It's Wednesday night. I guess 7 p.m. Eastern time. I'm going to be on the loop. They have me on the loop there, the global loop, they call it. I have no idea what we're talking about. They just asked me. Whoop! Is my son joking?
Oh, goodness.
They just asked me to come on, and so now I have to get my mother-in-law to come babysit, and then we'll be a go.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do? You have to drive to a studio somewhere, and you know.
I got to get on a subway to go to the studio. I have a bicycle, and that's it.
Oh yeah.
Too far.
And
have you ever used your bicycle? I didn't even know you had one.
I haven't used it in a long time, actually. The last time I used it, and it was the first time I used it in a long time, was to drive back and forth to the hospital when my wife was giving birth.
I can just picture this gigantic white guy huffing and puffing down the streets of Tokyo on a bicycle.
You have to understand, it's funny. It's funny because it's true, and most people here buy these really crummy bicycles because they just keep the bicycles outside anyway. They're like, you know, no one's looking to buy a nice bicycle,
mm-hmm.
But I have to, you know, order my bicycle because I'm 6'4", and the average height here for a guy is probably like 5'9". So I bought like a pretty decent bicycle. I mean, it's maybe a $300 bike, which is probably not that fancy in America, but in Japan, that's like a, you know, BMW. So it really stands out when I park my bike on the street. You know, it's like it's like a foot high. Everyone else's, and it's much nicer.
Gotta get a club for that.
No one's gonna steal it because they probably couldn't fit it anyway. And they take one look at it and they think, if this guy actually catches me stealing his bike, he's gonna rip my head off.
You're a monster to those people.
Right. I am Godzilla. I'm the white Godzilla.
I think you just titled our show. All right, man. Well, we appreciate you guys being on tonight. You got anybody here in the studio? Got any questions for him or anything else you'd like to say? Oh, you know what? Let me. There was something else I wanted to talk to you about. I want to talk about Circuit City. Can we talk about them?
Okay. Sure, of course.
What is going on with that? I remember. God, I don't. How long ago did the lawsuit happen?
Okay. I'll give you the story here. It was a few months ago. The one thing I should point out is that I was, you know, Cheap Ass Gamer was not being sued. We were merely being subpoenaed.
Right.
Basically, one of our users was posting the Sunday ads that I was talking about earlier. He was posting them in our forums pretty early, like a week or two ahead of time before they were actually released to the public.
Doing the stores a favor, in my opinion, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and a lot of CAGs really enjoyed it because it let them sort of plan their shopping.
Mm-hmm.
They're shopping out, but Circuit City, I guess, didn't like it, and they subpoenaed Cheap Ass Gamer to reveal the poster's identity. Any information that we had on this guy, they wanted, you know, IP address, email, anything. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, succumb to that type of pressure, so I had to go and get a lawyer and, you know, see what I could do. So
your
I
wife?
Did not have to give that information out, and we filed an objection to a motion to quash, I believe it was called, and I have not heard a thing since. We filed it. I guess Circuit City is just letting it go because my lawyer hasn't contacted me since we've done it, and I could email my lawyer and ask what's going on, but that's going to cost me about $150 every time they write me.
And you're cheap for a reason, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to, you know, every email costs me at least $100, so I figure if something important is going on that I need to know about, they're going to let me know, and then I'll pay, but I don't, you know, I'm not in the business of making money.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. Hey, Wombat, thanks for calling in and joining us in on the conversation.
It's my pleasure. Anything to ruin Cheapy's spotlight?
Yeah, it's a good thing he can't jump in on my G4 appearances.
Yeah, oh, but I still would.
That was one of the questions somebody asks is, you know, why isn't Wombat joining him on the show tonight? And, I really didn't have an answer to that. I had Nick, BA Penguin, get in touch with you to see if you could do the show. And, but, you know, thank you for calling in and joining in on it. It's kind of neat. It's kind of like a CAG cast and an Evil Avatar radio thing.
It's my pleasure. Maybe not Cheapy's, but it's definitely mine.
Well, thank both of you for calling in. What are you going to do now? What's your day? Are you going to play a game? Are you going to change the diaper? What are you going to do?
Well, I'm actually feeding Ty right now. He's almost done with his bottle. And then I think it's going to be lunchtime. I want to go get some lunch. I think I'm going to go get some soba and tempura. I you know, throw Ty in the stroller. I head over to the supermarket. Has a little soba shop inside it.
Mm-hmm.
The guy always throws me a free an extra shrimp because I'm a big white guy. He hooks me up with the extra shrimp. And then all the employees there will ooh and ah over Ty as they do everywhere I go. And you know, then we'll come home and we'll repeat the process all over again.
All right, man. Well, thanks for calling in. Thanks for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure, anytime.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
See you, Wombat.
See ya.
All right, that was Cheapy D and Wombat from CheapAssGamer.com. Seriously, if you've never been to the site, you need to check it out. It's not just games. It's also DVDs, all sorts of stuff. And they've also got sections of the forums that are, that are region-specific. If you want to look for just your state, and even within your state, you can actually look and to see if any deals are going on in your area. Very, very helpful site. So make sure you check it out, cheapassgamer.com. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll finish off the news here. Coming up next on 1170 WACV with Evil Avatar Radio. And welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV, Medal of Honor. Yeah. Just nod. This is the final few moments here of the show. Just going to hit a few little quick hits on the news here and then go over what everybody's going to be playing for the weekend. Let's see. Turns out Kane and Lynch sold 1 million copies. Great for them, even though, you know, it's probably in part due to the press that they got from the whole Gerstmann issue. Probably sold that many because of it. And as well, a lot of people saying that, you know, it's got its faults, but it's not that bad of a game. I need to go through and play it and see for myself as well. What else do we have here? The PS3 now costs half as much to make than it did before. So yeah, with, you know, cheaper production costs, that means cheaper prices on selling it. So you could see another price drop on the PS3 come about. I think they're at a pretty good price point right now.
They're competitive now.
Yeah, and if it goes down even further, you know, that's great. You know, the more people that can pick up a PS3, the better, I think, because it is, you know, it's a good system. It's it's a very good system. So, so why not? What else do we have here? Well, you know, we were talking about the Gerstmann thing. Another person from GameSpot quit today, or over the weekend, I think. Alex Navarro, I believe. He's a writer for GameSpot.
Quit over the entire Gerstmann deal, I believe.
From what I understand, he quit over that whole thing, which is another big loss to them as far as, you know, their writers are concerned and their fan base, I would think, as well. You know, people go there because of these people, not because it's GameSpot.
Well, I mean, and this kind of contrasts with what's going on at EGM as well.
Yeah. You want to go into that?
You go on ahead. You got the computer
well,
in front of
crap.
You. Well, crap. I believe it's... I can't pronounce his name. Dan Shu.
Shu?
Dan Shu, yeah. He says that Midway, Sony, and Ubisoft are not sending games to them to review anymore because of the negative reviews that they were getting.
Being honest, at least.
Yeah, that's the gist of it. They're banning their products from appearing in Electronic Gaming Monthly due to the review coverage that the magazine was giving them. And there could be even more companies involved in this as well. That seems to be going up. I don't know. The thing is that I really haven't paid much attention to reviews in a long time.
Same here.
I pay attention to forum posts. I pay attention to talking to, you know, everybody that's in this room and in the room adjacent. Zilladan as well. So I listen to those people, and just, you know, that's it. I listen to the people that I know. And that's the way I go on it. Now, I'll use a review to find out what's in, like, if I don't know if co-op's in the game or something like that, I'll go to a review. If I've got a question about a certain aspect of a game, I'll find a review and skim over it to find my answer. But I'm not reading that review to let me know if I need to buy this or not. I'm reading the review because I need to figure out if it's got something in there or not. I don't care of this person's opinion. You know? That's exactly the point. I don't know this guy from some stranger on the street. So I don't care what he says in the review, you know. So that's just the way I feel on things. I don't think that companies should stop sending their products to someone who keeps giving them bad reviews. Because I'm sure there are games that both Midway, Sony, and Ubisoft have gotten good reviews from EGM before, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's stupid, but that's just me. So, anyway, what else do we have in the news there? There was that. There was also Sony's decision to stop distribution of the 20-gig and the 60-gig PS3s in Japan. So it looks like we're just getting closer to just having that 40-gig out there. I think, are they still doing the 80s?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
I can't remember.
Once you got one, it didn't matter anymore.
It doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
Actually.
At that price point.
Well, they've already matched the price point. If they can, you know... If they can find the right form factor, the right combination of options, and just bring that to market without any variation in it, then, you know, that'll help to make a little more sense of things. I think it'll probably help them out further. Mm-hmm. I've never exactly understood the decisions they've made with the different versions in this generation, but whatever.
Yeah, I think 40 is their, you know,
it's a sweet spot.
That's it. I think that's just stick with that and keep doing what you're doing with it. I think that's all they need to do. Because it seems to be doing well for them right now as well. Let's see. Let's do a chat room roll call here. We haven't done one yet. We haven't done one in a while, actually. So let's go down the list here. It's always a fun portion of the show as I try to pronounce people's names in the chat room. Rogue Hunter's in there. Spooky Thoughts has also joined us tonight. Fishbang, of course, User 466. BA Penguin's in the room as well. Mike O'Hara, recently, whatever, broken up with his...
He's on the single-player campaign now.
Yeah. Exactly. That's couldn't have put it better. Social Disease is in there. He's another. He's a Burnout Paradise fan. He's a Burnout fan, just as I am. Flinks is in there. A Nabokov fan, 87, also joining us in there. Cheapy D still in the chat room. I myself am in there. Psycho Boy 2. User 417. Praying for Rain 7. User 20. We have a lot of users in there tonight. Codicier. I'm not sure. Go ahead. Yes. What?
Nothing. You just, even if you're going to do it wrong, you should just find one wrong way of saying it. It's like every week trying to figure out exactly how you should say it. If Scott routinely has trouble with your name, please, in your quote section below your name in the chat room, put in a phonetic pronunciation key to help him out.
That would help.
No, it wouldn't. It would actually make it just as much difficult for you, but it would be more fun for me, because those seem to cause you as much trouble as the regular names.
I don't speak so good.
Continue, please.
Tripred is in the chat room, and Slipstream also joins us as well, all the way from Belgium there. So thanks for joining in the chat room tonight. We got about six more, make it five more minutes left in the show now. Exactly. Now, what are we going to be playing this weekend? You're looking at a magazine. You don't have a laptop. What are you going to play?
Mass Effect.
Yeah? Anything else? Just Mass Effect?
Just Mass Effect.
I'm not saying you should. I'm just didn't know if anything else.
Mass Effect's one of those games, man.
It
Mass
is,
Mass Effect
yeah.
is one of those games that that absolutely requires...
That's why you haven't seen me play it.
Sit down for a minute and, like... You know, I love my Assassin's Creed. I can go a week without playing Assassin's Creed, but I can hop back in, do five things, hop back out, and be perfectly okay. Mm-hmm. Mass Effect,
can't
not
do
so
that.
Much.
No.
Not so much. It's frickin' 45 minutes to debrief every single person on my ship and in my crew after I do a mission to see if they have any additional information. That's not doing the mission. That's not going anywhere. It's walking around my ship asking them, did I do a good job? You know, do you approve of me as a person or whatever the conversation is? Like, that's just that sort of stuff. Like, no, man, it's time. There's a lot of time to do a whole lot of...
Did you understand what I said earlier? It was before you started playing where I felt like it was a book without chapters where, you know, you don't know where that stopping point is.
Right.
Normally games is like, oh, level complete.
Yeah.
Gives your, your time tally and everything else, and then you could stop. But no, it just flows right on into whatever else. So
it does.
That's what it feels like to me. All right, so Jeremy's on Mass Effect. Dennis? Don't say more Uno.
No, I'll probably actually get back and crack down.
Get kind of Crackdown, yeah.
And I'll probably play some Catan as well.
Yeah, how did you enjoy that? You played that.
I played the board game.
Yeah.
And that is...
How does it translate for you?
It translates well, but nothing compares to like having a fist fight occur over the board game when people are trading resources and all of a sudden somebody plays down Monopoly. I've never seen people get that violent that quickly before.
Yeah. But yeah, enjoyed that. You're going to be playing Crackdown. What's the next game you think you're going to be picking up?
Oh, I don't know. I do want to get Burnout Paradise. I want to get Mass Effect. There's like a ton of games out there. It's just,
we told you about Condemned earlier.
Yeah, Condemned. I can pick that up on the cheap and
That's the thing about getting into the 360 so late in the game like this. You've got tons of great games that are all cheap.
Yeah, it's like, what, $30, I guess?
What, for Condemned?
Yeah.
Oh, God, no. 19, 20, really? Maybe even less. You can find it used. Yeah. It's even less because that's a launch title.
Yeah,
that is a launch title.
Well, and there's a second one coming out.
There is. It's coming out in the spring. We're looking at a March, April type release date for that. So
yeah, I need to get that.
I'm not
going
to try to play that one alone either.
Mm-mm.
I was going to say from what you said about it, James.
It's just I'm saying I've played some really really scary games, games that are apparently scarier than Condemned was. It's just there's a certain something about the creep factor of Condemned that I could not swing it by myself. Couldn't do it. I can't remember who suggested it, but, you know, I could always play Yakety Sax while it runs. Someone on the EVAT forum said that was the only way he was able to get to it by himself.
It was great.
It was playing Yakety Sax. I don't think I could do that myself. I'll just play it over at Scott's house with
Yakety
the lights
Sax
on.
Yakety Sax makes everything
around.
Okay.
Right.
It does, because I did it with Call of Duty 2, and it was great. There was. I had just gotten my 360. I had Call of Duty 2, and I think it was Mike and I think Dave came over to the house to check it out. It's like, oh, he's got a 360. Let's look at this. And I'm like, yeah. And while I'm playing a game, I can put in my own music. Watch this. And I picked up Yakety Sax. No, it wasn't Yakety Sax. It was Bang on the Drum All Day. Now I don't know what his name is. But, yeah, you've heard it before. I don't want to work. I want to bang on the... And I'm just going around shooting Nazis and bang on the drum or Russians, whatever it was. And that was hilarious. So, yeah, Yakety Saxon Condemned, that's comedy gold right there. Dana, what are you going to be doing this weekend?
Finishing Mass
Effect. Nothing else, huh?
What are you going to start up?
What do you want to get?
Psychonauts, good choice.
Xbox Originals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good choice. I've heard that, one of the things about me getting the, one of the things about me picking up what I want to pick up, Burnout 3 Takedown, on Xbox Originals, load times, I've heard, was a lot less. And that's what I heard with Psychonauts. Load times are just like that now that you have it on your hard drive. Real quick, James, what are you doing this weekend?
Mass Effect. Resistance. There you go.
Cool. All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Evil Avatar Radio. Join us next week. We'll do it all over again here on 1170 WACV and Evil Avatar Radio. We will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Leroy Jenkins?
Leroy Jenkins.
Okay. Like, so when we were winding down there the last 3 minutes, I was looking through this Game Informer, right?
Because you didn't have a laptop.
Because I don't have a laptop right now. And they do this bit on... the best games of each particular generation.
Yeah.
And for arcade, they show Pac-Man and Space Invaders. But, like, look at this picture of the Pac-Man arcade cabinet with the giant hole in the front where the coin slot mechanism should be. Like, way to go, man. You know, show the king of the era completely gutted and
that's
open
funny.
And exposed.
I'm not even sure I would have noticed that.
No.
Yes.
All right.
He stole physical
oh, wow.
did nothing.
Makes it look a lot less, you know... King of the Hill and
I
a lot
totally would have never noticed. I mean, I just wouldn't have paid any
like
attention.
Crap.
Although that Pac-Man, for whatever reason, was one of the oddest looking Pac-Man I'd ever seen during, you know.
Yeah.
My first exposure to Pac-Man was like, the furthest thing I can remember was, you know, him wearing his hat and he had legs and arms and everything else.
Saturday morning supercade.
Yeah, the Saturday morning supercade. That's exactly what it was. You know?
Yeah.
And the first time I saw that, I was like, that's weird. It was some weird 70s thing. It was actually 80s, but yeah.
What else going on in here?
No, that's right. You don't get Game Informer anymore, do you?
Nope.
I'll have to say, you know.
I just look at other people's.
Yeah. Game Informer, I don't, you know, that's one of the last magazines I read as far as gaming's concerned.
Yeah.
Because they can still get the scoops.
That they can,
that
man.
The internet doesn't.
They really can. Hard to scoop the internet.
Oh, man. It's tough. And even then,
bastard.
For the most part, you know, it's like, oh, here's the news, you know, up at E3 we saw this, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, obviously... There's no way you can get around that. But, yeah, they have, like, the first screenshots and, you know, everything
like,
else.
I don't remember. Prototype.
Is that Paradise? I got to read that.
No, you don't. Yeah, because there's a lot you don't know about Burnout Paradise at this point. Well, you should probably read this to decide whether or not you're going to buy it.
Yeah, I should. I haven't quite made up my mind just yet.
Still kind of up in the air, huh?
I wanted to say, though, that... if anybody had any questions about the demo, it's like, why are they doing it this way? Why is... Oh, blah, they released a podcast last week, nearly 3 hours long. It's episode 14. They've been doing a podcast, obviously, for 14 episodes now. But most of their episodes were like 30 minutes long. They would answer a few questions, and they would talk about England. And like, you know, oh, I just had a great it's kind of like our after show when we talked about hamburgers and whatever else.
Hamburgers with or without
Shut
an apostrophe.
Shut up. But yeah, a nearly 3 hour long podcast, and they answer everybody's questions. I mean, as I realize, a lot of people think Alex Ward's a dick for what he posted. You know, just his attitude or whatever. People take it the wrong way. I'm not sure, but.
damn, that's a good podcast. What about what?
In regards to what? Him being
A lot of people said, how come it's open world? How come we can't retry races? How come there's, I'd rather take a load time more than I would, all this other stuff. EA is making you do all this stuff. Now that you're a part of EA, you're different, and they answer all that. They're like, no, this is the game we wanted to make, and this is the game that we made.
Game development's not a service industry.
Yeah,
because you make what the fuck you want to make. I don't know. Maybe that's it.
Yeah. If that's the game they want to make, man,
then let them make the damn game.
Exactly.
I still don't know where to come down on the whole demo thing. It's like,
yeah,
you got, a whole phalanx of Burnout games that do what you want done.
Mm-hmm.
Go play them.
I haven't heard phalanx in a while. Not since City of Heroes.
I just wish the demo had one of the modes in it that I'm interested in playing in the full game. Like a cops and robbers mode. Mm-hmm. I don't know, driving around the city and doing.
But it does. You said it did.
The other people.
No.
You're a fucking liar then.
I am a fucking liar.
Ugh.
No, the situation, we should go back and listen to that, or you should anyway, was we were talking about Midtown Madness 3 that was released only on the Xbox.
Yeah.
And I said it had a cops and robbers mode. When I went back and listened, I realized that, oh crap, they think I meant Burnout Paradise.
Exactly. Well, because what we did was we talked about Burnout Paradise for an extraordinarily long time. And then I said, boy, it would be great if it had a cops and robbers mode, and you're like, it does.
And we were talking about, I was talking about Burnout.
It doesn't matter what you're talking about, it's what we were talking about.
No, go back and listen to it.
I don't need to, I remember the conversation quite clearly.
And so do I, and I was referencing Midtown Madness 3, but I realized, though, when I went back and listened to it, I was like, oh crap, they think I meant Burnout Paradise, so anyway.
So, there's nothing like that?
There's no cops and robbers mode, no.
Yeah.
Well, then that's disappointing, but either way.
Because I don't want to, line up, with seven other cars so somebody can jump over me. That's not my idea of a good time.
No, there's races in there. And then there's the challenges you can do.
The extent of the game, though.
In multiplayer. And then there's the races you can do in multiplayer.
Well, then I'm out.
And there's the Showtime mode that you can do in multiplayer as well.
What's Showtime?
I don't know. It takes the place of what Crash Mode used to be.
There's plenty of games to race in, and if I wanted to race, I'd be racing already. And the challenges, I thought, were incredibly boring, so... I don't know. I needed something completely different.
Did you play with us when we were doing it, when we had eight people in there?
No. I played just you and me.
You were in there with us when we had eight people, right?
Yeah.
How did you like that?
I enjoyed it. I liked racing around town going after one guy.
Yeah.
But...
We made up our own little events. We're like, okay, who wants to be the target this time? And someone's like, I'll be it. And they're like, all right, drive. We'll give you like 10 seconds. We all just hung around. He went to the other side of the map, and then we all went after the motherfucker.
Yeah.
And that was fun.
Yeah, see, that's the kind of modes I'd love to play.
Well, there's no set mode like that. You just make it up on your own.
That's what we used to do in Midtown Madness.
Yeah.
But like, whatever, if I'm going to do that on Xbox Live.
We were making it up 10 years ago, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
I think is what he's trying to say. Sometimes it really feels like we haven't made any progress at all when people make games.
Yeah.
Not that I'm going to personally say I have a problem with that demo, but honestly, sometimes it feels that way. Sometimes it feels like the graphics look really, really nice, but some of the fundamentals of gameplay that we were hoping to move beyond haven't changed one bit.
Mm.
If a game type that I was making up with my friends, that they were using the environment to create out of nothing because they didn't see fit to include it in the actual game. We were making it up 10 years ago, and we're making it up today because somebody couldn't include it in their game.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of what he's saying, and I can sort of feel that. Either way, it's like, too bad there's no other racing games on the 360, right?
There is. There's just not that arcade style that I enjoy as much. Like, there's Forza. That's too sim for me.
Mm-hmm.
Even PGR4 is very close to being... a lot of people would say PGR4 compared to Forza. PGR4 is the arcade version. But it's still a sim. It's still got those sim properties of, I don't know. I can't hit tap my brake and drift around a corner and still make it at 200 miles per hour.
Yeah.
In a PGR4, like a Cannon Burnout. There's another one. What's the other one? Dirt.
Yeah, that's not really arcade.
No, it's not. Exactly. There isn't, from what I can tell, an arcade racer on any of the next-gen consoles. I couldn't, you know... Somebody can correct me, I'm sure, because I'm probably skipping something. I am very one-track-minded when it comes to Burnout, so... I am. I admit all that. I completely admit it up front. I am a huge fan of the game. I really am. So... But I don't know. I enjoy the podcast. If you've got questions about it, they answer them. They go through God knows how many. I think they go through like 105 questions on that show. Some of them are repeats. How come there's no drivers? They're like, we've never put drivers in our games. Why would we start now? You know, we've never had drivers. People ask, how come you can't customize your cars? Have you ever played a Burnout game that you've customized your car? We're not doing it now. You know? What's some of the other ones? I can't remember some of the others.
That's kind of interesting, though.
Yeah, because it stands in direct opposition to the fact that they changed other parts of the game. We've never done this. We're not going to start doing it now. Well, you've always done this. Why did you not do it now?
Yeah. I don't know. I think...
Thanks for taking my point from me.
Yeah.
Every now and then I come up with something to say, and then...
I think what he's trying to say is...
I was thinking it at the exact same time, better than I could have. I was... That's precisely what I was thinking that when he said that.
Yeah.
He's justifying the statements he made in the podcast. And I was like, well, actually, if that's what they're going to say, you know, then you can't really defend the notion that, well, we made this change and that's just it. Whatever. Yeah. It's not that big a deal. It's Burnout, for God's sake. There'll be 9 more before the end of this generation of hardware.
I can only hope.
It's just not... it's not worth the headaches. I understand being disappointed by a game. I really do, but...
Yeah, don't you?
Yeah, I really do.
Anyway, that's just my stance on it. I'm trying to get them. We're not going to have them for next week's show, which is the show before the release. But he said the 28th is a possibility. I also told him that I'm more than willing to do a pre-recorded interview that we could then air. He did say he would try to get me a game. He would try to get me a copy of the game. I don't know for which system. But that he would try to get me a copy of the game. If he does, we'll give it away on the air. I don't know how, but we'll give it away on the air. So that's where we stand on getting them on the show.
So, that's good. Good for you.
Yes. Trying hardest. Who would you guys like to have on the show?
I don't know. Give me a minute. I'm going to keep flipping pages for a second. It'll come to me.
Jeremy?
I'd say Hideo Kojima, but we'd have to have his translator on, too.
See, that's the problem. Yeah. We talked about this the other day.
Miyamoto would be a good one.
We're like...
Same thing.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about this. We're like, you know, we've got some people from PS3. We've got some people from Microsoft.
Really?
We don't have anybody from Nintendo, but mainly because the majority of the games are, you know,
Japanese. Let's see if we can get David Hayter on.
That would be really cool.
Because I've been thinking about talking to David Hayter on this show since we started doing this a year ago.
Okay. He's the kind of... All right, you know, Kojima, Miyamoto, these guys are too, my personal opinion, they're tied too closely to the outlook of the parent company they support. Like, because of what Kojima's done, especially because of what Miyamoto's done, they're involved so heavily with, like, that company, Sony and Nintendo, respectively. And they don't have the same type of community relationship that Microsoft has. Like, you can have the major on, and it's like the major can be more tied directly to Microsoft, but it's his job to be the communicator, you know, for the community. Theirs is a totally different thing, but at some level, I don't want to talk to the guys that are that high up. What the fuck do they got to say to me? They're not going to tell me what I really want to hear. They're sure as hell not going to tell me what I really want to hear. They're not really... I'm not going to scoop them, for God's sake, you know? And it's just going to be us sitting around going, wow, yeah, like... Your shit's tight, man, you know? Like, that's all it would really be. I much prefer, you know, my own personal opinion is someone, I suppose it's accurate enough to say further down the chain, you know? But someone who's down, and then again, not that those guys aren't doing the act of creation, but someone who's more removed from the vision of the company and who is simply doing what they're doing, simply engaged in the act of creation. You know, these guys with smaller voices, not beyond either the project or the developer level. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd like to talk to Randy Pitchford. That's who I'd like to talk to.
And what's he done?
He's done a lot of stuff, but he's the head of Gearbox.
Okay.
Gearbox started out doing...
Opposing Force.
Yeah. They did the Half-Life expansions.
Yeah, Blue Shift and...
Yeah.
Did they do the Halo port?
They did the Halo port to PC. They've also done... Brothers in Arms, which I've not been particularly fond of, but I know that they've got some other things in the works right now that I'm kind of interested in. I believe they're taking up the AVP mantle again.
Oh, okay,
that was really good
back in the late '90s.
Yeah, it really was actually. It didn't do everything it should have, but yeah, it was pretty good. But that's an example of a guy I'd like to talk to.
And they just donated a ton of money to the Guildhall.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, to start a scholarship program of some type for people who are wanting to get into game developing.
I read something about that.
Yeah.
When my laptop was still working.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You know more than anyone without having it, so that sucks. Well,
what was that? Hold on. Keep talking. It was that thing.
I was about to say, anything good in there?
There's a couple good things, man. I got this great quote. Keep talking. I'll let you know when I find it.
Force Unleashed.
Yeah, that needs to hurry up. Okay, here it is.
No kidding.
All right, here we go. This is a caption from a piece of artwork in the multi-page spread covering Resistance 2.
In the latest issue.
This I find very interesting. According to whoever wrote this caption, with a piece of artwork depicting a big giant thing you have to kill. First-person shooters don't often include bosses. Insomniac wants to get it right and deliver encounters unlike any you've ever seen before.
Yeah, man, I don't remember single boss.
I don't ever really remember fighting a boss in a first-person shooter. It just really doesn't happen at all. Past or present, frankly, it's just something no one's ever thought to include in a first-person shooter. Yeah. So anyway...
What was that?
You know who I'd want on the show? The guy who wrote that caption. If you can get me that guy, or the editor that okayed it, I'd like to talk to that guy. Thanks. Hold on. I'm sure his name's in here somewhere.
Yeah, get the guy from Game Informer.
How do you justify your bullshit statement, sir?
Is this a caption, or is this like a statement from like somebody?
No, it's a caption. Okay. It's a caption. Yeah, it's totally a caption. I wish it was a statement from somebody from a company, man. I would.
That giant mechanical spider thing in Halo we all fought, that wasn't a boss.
No, it was not a boss. No. It was not a
boss. That was damn fun, though.
Yeah.
No, I'm not lying. I didn't just make it up.
Battle. Yeah.
Pretty intense.
Right there. No, it's not a quote. It's not a quote. It's right here.
I could have sworn I saw it like down here in the story as well. While I was reading through
it. You have to read through the story, though.
Even if it's paraphrased, it's not in quotation marks, so... It's not a quote.
Oh, damn it. I could find it.
Well, you reading this magazine is boring.
Yeah.
For radio, so.
Yeah, you'll have to read it for a good while to find a quote. Who knows where it's at?
Screenshots.
A lot of good pictures in there from.
Screenshots.
Are they screenshots or.
Both.
Okay.
More of the not screenshot variety. Then of the screenshot variety.
It's weird because he's looking at Resistance 2, but every now and then he flips the page and I can see a little bit of Lego Indiana Jones.
You know what's funny? There's like 1,800 pictures of the Chimera in here. Like, you seriously don't know what it looks like. Like, here's the Chimera with its mouth closed running at you. Here's the Chimera with its mouth open shooting at you. Here's the Chimera with its mouth really open not shooting at you.
It's a boss.
Right. That's here's a picture of three Chimera. So anyway, there you go. You get the gist of what this article is. And there's some words. Yeah, Lego Indiana Jones. We've been over this territory before. Most things would be improved by being
made Lego. Got some Lego
Batman
Lego. In there, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Co-opable.
Yes.
If you say so.
I hope Megan's old enough to, like, figure some of that out when that comes out. What's the release date on that?
Batman?
Yeah.
Let me see. It is, they're lying. Fall. Whatever. They don't know. That means they don't know what the hell they're talking about. Fall. Whatever.
Happy thoughts. Happy.
Is this totally a joke, or is this actually serious?
Yes, that's great on DS.
That's really killing me, man. That's awesome. Well, this there's this script. I didn't know what this was. I thought it was like some weird Japanese like acupuncture game. And I was like, what is this? Do you have to like relieve this guy's tension? And I suppose in a manner of speaking, you do.
Gotta make him completely relax.
That's funny.
Ooh, Condemned 2.
Yeah, that's pretty scary. See, I'm just saying, it's a deformed doll, and it's got like this other doll head coming out of its arm, and it's creepy.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's a doll. I don't know, dolls in the first one. It was all dead birds.
That's right, it was.
It was really creepy, though. It bothered me a lot.
So they have to make me collect dolls this time.
Man, that's bad.
Yes, it is.
Man, Dana told me there's this mission later on where you have to deal with monkeys in Mass Effect.
Oh, Mass Effect.
I hate monkeys. And it's not just that there's monkeys. Right? It's that you can't shoot them. I'm just saying. That really aggravates me. I could deal with a legion of monkeys climbing all over my, you know, tank thing if I could just shoot them. But I can't.
Every game's improved by monkeys.
No, it isn't. It's improved by the slaughter of monkeys. There's a fine distinction. Just the presence of monkeys doesn't do anything but just fuck it all up.
I've never been a fan of Super Monkey Ball.
And Ape Escape and...
No, never been a fan
of Ape Escape.
Yeah. I know, I'm not helping them get away. They need to... That's their problem. It's not my problem. I don't like monkeys. Yeah, I don't know. Think of something. Hold on.
I'm just reading.
Wasn't the main character in Samba de Amigo a monkey of some sort?
Yeah.
Yeah. Monkeys, man. And System Shock 2.
Yeah.
Yes, and I killed them all.
But you find out they were really running the show, too.
Yeah, that was a little creepy, wasn't it? The little recording of the monkey.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not allowed to shoot them in Mass Effect, though. You just have to...
She just said that there's, like, these space monkeys or whatever that you have to deal with. And you can't kill them. And I was fine. I was like, fine, there's monkeys everywhere.
Blood-drinking hell, guys. I don't know. What's this M stand for? Monkeys.
Right.
Oh, I guess there's nothing wrong with monkeys.
A drinking hell,
guys.
Wait
a second. You don't kill these monkeys, do you? The old Penny Arcade.
Yeah,
column.
Yeah. It's good stuff, though.
Yeah. The little kid way trying to get his mom to buy him blood drinking hell, guys. I think it ran an official PlayStation magazine.
On a happy note, the grapple now attaches to any object in the environment.
Speaking, of course, of
Tomb Raider Underworld.
That's good.
I haven't looked forward to a Tomb Raider game in a very long time. Tomb Raider sequel, I should say.
Yeah.
Look forward to the first one, but... They don't seem at all, you know, locked into this idea of maybe continuing the story from the ending of the last game. They're sort of... In this article, they're kind of treating this like that's kind
of... Well,
come on,
who does that anymore, man?
Well, they're like, well, no, you know, we know there was this whole story that, you know, didn't complete itself. And we're not forgetting about it, but we want to do other stuff.
Yeah, just like...
How about you don't forget about it and don't do other stuff? How about you don't forget about it and you finish it? How about the first scene of the new game, you know, makes me understand clearly that I left off at this other place. Maybe before you go and make a goddamned cliffhanger of some sort, or at the very least leave my narrative hanging all over the place, you should kind of think about whether or not you're going to complete it later.
I don't like it when your narrative hangs all over the place.
No, I don't either. I'm not that kind of person. I prefer to have everything, you know, tucked away nicely and finished up before I get the credits. Or at least a promise, a guarantee of some sort that it's, you know, going to be furtherance of activities in the next title.
Oh, they're saying they didn't forget, man, so...
Yeah,
that's sort of a...
Oh, dude, come on, this is like the most blatant, like, marketing code in the whole world. Like, we don't know what you like, but we're too scared to do something you don't like, so we're going to pretend that we're doing both things. That's all it is. Maybe you want to hear that we're picking up with the story, but if you're the kind of person that doesn't like that, then it's all new. But by all new, I mean we're totally dealing with the story from before. That's all there's... Fucking Idiots. God, just fucking say something, man.
Idiot.
Just give me the game. How about that? Just don't need screenshots. I don't even need those. Tomb Raider.
Say, which
boobs, rocks, it. Trees, rain, flips. That's about it. There you go. That's about all I need. And The Force Unleashed had better be as cool as the teaser trailer.
It better be out this year. Jesus Christ.
If it's as cool as that teaser trailer, I can wait for it. Mm. It had better be that good, though. I had better be able to grab a Star Destroyer with my mind and slam it into the ground. That's probably not the case, though. This guy's probably going to kick my ass. I'm going to feel pretty stupid. So, whatever.
You'll get beaten up by Ewok.
I could use another Jedi
Knight game,
man. What?
I could use another Jedi Knight game. It's been a full 6 years.
Has LucasArts put anything out on the next-gen stuff yet? On 360 and PS3? Not counting the Lego Star Wars shit, but...
You mean like new IPs or continuance of...
Yeah.
No. Have they?
I don't think so.
Huh, it's interesting. It's not like them.
Sam and Max is on like PC.
They had seriously kind of gotten into shovelware territory there for a bit, so...
Yeah. Like, I just... They're working on an Indiana Jones game.
Yeah, well, God, they've been talking about that for...
Forever.
Yeah, a really long time. That was one of the things that was on the list that would make me get a 360. Mm-hmm. Way back before I had one.
Way back. Turns out all it took was Gears of War.
It didn't take Gears of War. It wasn't Gears of War. It sold me on it.
That's when you bought it.
I bought it the day Gears of War came out, but it wasn't Gears of War. Yeah. It was R6 Vegas. That's what it was. Where the hell was it? They had this thing in here. Here it is. Top 10 sequels in demand. They give Jedi Knight a probability of 15% of being...
that high.
Brought in. Yeah. I didn't get down with Academy. I didn't like Academy that much.
I like Academy.
I know you did, yeah. And I could never quite get it to be what I wanted it to be. It was, it was all right. It seemed like I really liked Jedi Knight 2 a lot. You have System Shock, an 80% probability of being resurrected.
Wow. That's more like a 99 at this point, I'd say.
Yeah.
Bioshock. Yeah.
Well, it's these guys. What do they know? Apparently, first-person shooters don't have boss fights. So. I'm sure this was a highly scientific, process by which they determined a 99% probability that we'd see an XCOM sequel. Yeah, fat chance. When was the last time there was an XCOM game?
99%?
What was it? Interceptor, I think? Or something.
Was that it?
I think that was it.
That was...
What?
What year was that?
God, forever ago?
Yeah. It was
forever ago.
Yeah, it was seriously
wasn't
like forever
really
ago.
It was really an XCOM game. It was a...
Yeah, it was like 100 forevers ago, so... Some Chrono game? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, what's their chance on the Chrono game?
65%?
Yeah, right.
That's way too high.
Yeah, it really is. That would be a thing for the PS3, though, isn't it?
Chrono Trigger as a 3D DS game, and
right.
They'll
put a character from Chrono Trigger in Smash Brothers before they...
Yeah, that's probably true.
I mean, that's all Square knows how to do anymore. Is
Diablo. You still give Diablo an 80% probability, even after, like... five red herrings of things that were supposed to be the next Diablo thing that like just didn't pan out. Whatever. I don't know. I'm not even reading their words. There's probably like some accurate justification under here. I'm just looking at the title and the probability, and whatever. I guess I've more or less digested that.
Well, you got a long way to go in there, I'm sure.
Seen how I read these things? I always start in the back, and I work my way to the front. And then when I get to the part where they're taking pictures of themselves at parties, I know that it's time to throw it away.
Yeah. Was that an ad? That's an ad for the club.
Most people I know that look through magazines look at them from the back to the front.
I don't know what that is.
So, since the Japanese read in the opposite direction we do, do they start at
do they
the
flip through magazines the other
the
way?
Back?
It's possible. I think it's a thing where it's like, I got the magazine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Put it in my hand, and I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this. Because, I support with my right hand. Right, because there's no camera in here. Support with my right hand on the spine. And then flip with my left thumb.
or like my left forefinger, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just like functionally easier to do that from back to front. I don't know why. It's totally stupid. Hey, that looks cool.
Should ask Cheapy to check that out for us.
Oh, right.
I want to try a fillet.
When Japanese people are reading magazines on the toilet, do they start from the front? just go ask somebody.
They go left to right or right to left.
Oh, well.
So I had a show idea. I had an after show idea. Start having people on this segment of the show.
Oh yeah.
We call them. Like I asked Pork Fry if he'd be interested in anything like that. He's like, yeah, I could do that.
He's a trip.
Because number one, I'm already home from work by the time you guys by the time you guys get done and are actually doing the after show, I'm actually available.
Cool.
That I can call in and talk. And I was like, yeah, we wouldn't have any type of form or, we wouldn't have to worry, shit, fuck, cock, whatever the hell you want to say. Doesn't matter.
If we did questions, you'd have to do what you usually do and, like, get the little put your questions here kind of thing, and we'll ask them later.
It wouldn't be like an interview segment.
Oh, then great.
It'd just be us talking to talk. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of bad for people who like to listen in live and call in live and stuff. So, because people like to do that.
Yeah, no, and I'm totally.
But it would make it. I think we could actually talk about something a little more meaningful at some level.
Yeah.
If we weren't.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't want it to be.
If we didn't turn it into an interview.
Yeah, I don't want it to be an interview. It's like I would call Cheapy back if I could and be like, "Hey, man, thanks for being on the show."
Say, do Japanese people read magazines left to right?
Say fucking Japan.
Say fucking Japan.
Which point he just says fuck.
He probably does all the time.
He just says fuck. I'm in Japan.
There you go.
No,
you know I just said fucking Japan.
God damn it. Say that. So, yeah, but I don't know. That's something I guess we could try for next episode, see how that goes. So yeah, that was just an idea, and even like we could just have people from the site call in.
Yeah, whatever.
I could pick somebody from EVAV and be like, hey, you want to be on the show with us and afterwards? Sure. All right, fine. Call in. Doesn't matter. Get Hoggy on. I could call him right now, actually, but I won't without knowing about it. Sometimes he didn't like. It's like the other time we were gonna have him on. He was like, I don't want to be on the show.
Yeah. Strobe just fell off the stand up there.
I'm really pissed, and I don't want to be on the show because I don't want to do that. So whatever. Doesn't stop James. That's all I'm saying.
Huh? Dude, what did you say?
Sorry. Kevin, when he didn't want to be on the show,
like, I'm really
he was all
pissed,
upset.
And I don't want to be on the show.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to be on the show because I'm really pissed.
Oh, Jesus.
His computer was giving him problems. He didn't want to be on the show.
I see.
Just like your computer.
There's room for
problems.
Two of us, man.
Man.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. God. Goodness.
Gracious.
Alive.
Fuck me.
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
Okay. So anyway, what else is going on? Anything else we want to talk about? I saw Dragon Wars over the weekend.
You saw it?
I rented it.
Oh.
From Netflix.
D-War.
Yeah.
Dragon Wars.
And? I thought I was going to come away and be like, you know what? That's one of those really good bad movies, but it's not.
That's a bad
movie? It's one of those really bad movies.
That's unfortunate.
It's horrible. And then I watched Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, that's such an excellent film.
I still haven't seen that.
That was. I didn't expect some of the things in that film I didn't expect from that film.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's an adult fairy tale or whatever it is, but I'm like, well, it still stars this little kid, and she's, interacting with these Henson-like creatures, but then there's this other shit that goes on. I was like, what the fuck, man? Did he just hit that guy in the face with a bottle? his face is caving in. What the fuck is going on? Holy shit.
Man, yeah. the pale man, the guy with the eyeballs in his hands.
He wasn't in it long enough for me.
Yeah.
He was so quick. They should put that in Condemned.
Oh,
fuck.
Man, he was like, he looked like some right out of a Silent Hill game. Holy.
Every time I've wanted to watch that movie, I've just been like, I don't want to read. I mean, seriously, because it takes a modicum of concentration to like follow the action and read the subtitles. So.
Yeah.
It's just a question of like, oh, man, yeah, I could like, because it was like this like, freaking 6 weeks. Dana and I kept thinking about getting it off of Live Marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were like, yeah, I want to read. I just want to sit here and watch it.
I get that way. I get that way sometimes, too. I'm actually more nervous about it because I'm afraid I'll fall asleep.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd get up and leave. Like, it's like I didn't have to pay too much attention to like every single word that was being said.
Mm-hmm.
I could gather what's going on, you know. So I didn't have to follow everything too close. But yeah, I mean, you do. But for whatever reason, if I can get started on one of those films, I'm good to go.
See, I never.
It's getting started that is my problem. If I can get over that fact of what we were just saying, where it's like, man, I really don't want to read, but if I can get that ball rolling, then it becomes.
You better not have a problem with it.
No.
What?
No, not anymore, but I used to work at the Capri. You know, we joke.
Yeah.
Oh, lots. Yeah.
I just blinked.
It's our art house theater for anybody who does not know, which is pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
So true.
It is.
I got such a strange feeling about that place. Kind of like a love-hate thing. Like, I really like it for what it is. Just, it's weird that we have a place like that, because we don't have anything in between. We have, like, you know, what in my opinion amounts to a fairly chintzy first-run theater, and then the Capri.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. We got, like, one decent, you know, and I sort of shrug when I say that. One decent first-run theater, 16 screens, and then the Capri. It's stupid. It's fucking retarded. I'm just saying, anybody out there, if you live in a real town, you know, just, you're lucky. Shit.
We live in the capital fucking city.
Yeah, you seriously, man, don't, like, if you ever come through here, don't, like, think anything just because it's the capital of the state.
The land that time forgets.
Don't, like, get confused because it's, like, got a name and everything. You know.
Oh, Vegas.
Vegas. Yeah, it looks the same. It looks the same, which is fine by me. It looks fine.
Put my picture of myself on there.
Yep.
I'm good to go. I don't even care. It doesn't even have to make it in the cheapen or not. It doesn't matter.
Man, I really wish they could have done that in a Mass Effect. That would have been funny.
Yeah, that would have been great.
I tried real hard to get it to look like me. Couldn't make him angry enough.
What did you go with? Did you go with a male or female?
Female.
Seriously? I thought you did.
Yeah.
I just was curious. I was like, I bet he went female on that character.
Yeah.
I bet he did.
Man, I'm really upset. Like, this is just...
No, not Jane.
What? This is just, like, change totally pace, weird folks. Thing. This is a totally weird thing, but, like, whatever, you know. It's already, like, you know, the love boat in space in the future, all this other stuff. I'm just saying. It was, like, the whole thing about, like, who's going to be your girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever in the game. You can make that choice, you know. Very Aerith or Tifa.
Oh, okay.
You know? And, like, because there's, like, with the chick with the you know, the squid head chick, whatever.
Squid head.
With the blue things on her.
Yeah,
That are all chicks.
Yeah, they're all chicks. They're also not, like, they don't have... they don't have genders. They don't have different genders. The Asari.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, like, that's one of them.
Yeah.
That you can be, like, all, you know, sweet on. And there's, like, the human chick, right? And then there's, like, the really hot, like, cybernetic goth chick. With, like, the mask and, like, all the, like, the cool voice and everything. I'm like, why can't, you know, if I'm already, I mean, I'm already having to make, like, an absurd choice between two completely unbelievable.
Oh, those are the only two.
It's the only, like, hey, she's over here, you know? I'm just saying, like, how come it's got to be the blue, not really a chick, or, like, the other human chick? How come you can't, like, go out with the Quarian? I don't understand. That one at least is actually a chick. You know? I'm just saying. Like, why did they have to limit my choices to the two of them? Or, like Final Fantasy VII, how come they couldn't let me through some extraordinary feat of conversational ledger domain go out with Barrett, you know?
Which in this game, I guess, would have been the giant lizard guy?
Yeah, it would be Rex.
Yeah, Rex. I love Rex.
He's very cool. I like him a lot.
What was that? I was asking him about his like if he had any stories to tell. And he's like, "Nah, I don't have any stories. Go talk to that guy if you want to know stories." And I'm like, "Come on, you gotta have something."
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there was this one time. Sorry, I tried to wipe out my race. That was fun.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I like them all quite a bit, actually.
And that response reminded me, nobody else will understand this, that response reminded me of Matt Van Hatton. So,
yeah.
So the renegade response was something like, don't be an ass, or something like that, which seemed like the appropriate reply. So I hadn't been using much of those, but I did in that instance, and it was a lot of fun.
See, that's funny. Like, to responses like that that I appreciate, I'll totally be, like, neutral or positive.
Yeah.
It's only when someone tries to get, like, all cheery or, like, wags their finger in my face or something that I'll be like, a total dick. But if somebody's, like, kind of being a dick and I agree with them, I'm like, yeah, that's pretty stupid. I'll be like, yeah. Yeah, sure. We get along.
We got something in common. Your fiance's playing Mass Effect right now, actually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she drew her in, too.
Level 9 Vanguard difficulty. Casual.
Man, I'm saying Soldier all the way. Soldier really makes things a whole lot easier.
Any time I play any type of RPG, really, and I have a choice to make, and it's, do you want to, like, you know, depending on whether it's sci-fi or fantasy, do you want to hit things with a sword or shoot them in the face?
Right.
Or do you want to, like, do it from a distance and be stealthy, or use magic, or be a healer defense. I'm like, no, man, that shit never works.
It never really does.
I always end up regretting my decision and wish I had just decided to whack things in the sword or shoot them in the face.
Yeah. So. The first character I had, the guy that I was like going to be all decent with was, what was he? He was one of the hybrid classes.
Yeah.
Pistols and sniper rifles as well as tech.
Yeah.
Which is the kind of thing that suits my personality, you know, when I read what they're writing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I run around for a few hours trying to shoot things, and it's, like, not working out too well. And I get on my soldier, and shit just fucking dies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just run up to shit, and it dies. I'm like, well, damn it, this is the way to do it. Then when I want to do something fancy, I can, like, dump all my points on my other guys into, like, the fancy trees and let them do the fancy stuff. I can just shoot things in the face.
Yeah, I guess I play games like this on easy.
Yeah.
I don't play a lot of games on easy, but... Like, when I start getting invested in doing a bunch of side quests and stories and
right.
and conversations, then the last thing I want to do is get frustrated with a battle that I have to keep doing to get past. Figured that out with Oblivion.
Yeah.
I turned the difficulty slider all the way down, and it just became a big playground and was fun.
Right.
So.
Fun. What a novel concept in an RPG.
I don't know when Condemned 2's due, but it's, you know, looking at this ad here, which is horrible. It's got Live out by the 360. Xbox 360, and it's got Live.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if there's some type of...
Yeah, you can, like, see your friends. They're playing Condemned and where they're at.
Yeah, right. other than that aspect,
they'll slap
yeah.
Live on anything these days.
Yes, they will. But normally, it should mean it's got something. I don't know. Leaderboards? Who knows?
Fuck leaderboards.
Yeah, there's that. Jesus, what the hell? That Assassin's Creed thing is weird on the DS.
It's creepy looking, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is this game? I thought somebody was joking. Like, I thought somebody was like, I thought the name of the game was something else, and then they were doing like a clever bit of, you know, flavor text. But they were like, no, it's Assassin's Creed.
Well, there you go. Look, we were just talking about it. Fracture, LucasArts.
Doesn't seem very LucasArts-y.
Mm-mm.
That's the one you were talking about a couple months ago.
Yeah, yeah, it looks real gimmicky. I couldn't remember the name of it. It looks gimmicky.
It's where the land deforms. And
yeah,
everything.
It's like, look at our deformation engine.
That's its gimmick.
Reminds me of, what the hell is the name of that game? The one that took place
on Mars.
Red Faction. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Red Faction had, like, real-time structural, you know, blowing rocks up and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool, but, like, the only thing I remember about the game is, like, you know, using a cheat code to get infinite rockets and then seeing how far back into the rock I could dig with rockets, you know?
Yeah.
I just want to, like, blow my way all the way to the surface and then explosively decompress this whole fucking place.
And it didn't work. It was kind of, yeah, it was kind of cool. Like, in some cavern, you could, like, shortcut to another place, but it was basically, like, you know, this is kind of dumb. I beat the whole thing, though. I did play through that whole game.
Yeah, you're right. It is picture after picture.
Of what?
The Camaro.
Of the Camaro.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Mouth open, mouth closed. That's basically the only difference in any of those screenshots. I don't really understand. But that's okay.
Cool stuff. All right.
Yeah, I think about wraps it up. I can't think of any other smart-ass thing to say.
Well, you know, you wanted to piss some more people off.
No, I didn't want to piss anybody off. I was just surprised I didn't piss anybody off. They moaned and groaned so much about Mass Effect.
Got to try harder.
As people just
oh, we could always talk politics. That ought to do the trick.
Man.
Yeah, right.
Man.
We need to do that live on the air here in Montgomery, and we could.
Oh man, that'd be funny. Off. Oh my
God.
Oh, if
light
only you
up
do.
The switchboards, man.
They released a Monkees track on Rock Band today.
Really?
Which one?
Last Train to Clarksville.
Oh, wait till I tell Becky.
Those are the only Monkees that are okay by me.
Man, I'm telling you, every game is made better by Monkees, even
only,
Rock Band.
Only if you can kill them.
Or put instruments in their hand,
man,
and let them go to
town. I don't want to kill Peter Tork. He was...
I won't. Those are the only Monkees that I don't want to kill in a video game.
Or Nesmith.
Now, the new Monkees from the 80s happily killed
them.
They
made new ones?
Yeah. That was a travesty, man.
I don't remember.
Yeah, it was the Saturday morning cartoon.
It was a cartoon?
I mean, no, it wasn't a cartoon. It was Saturday morning live action. There was an attempt to recreate the Monkees for our generation. And, yeah, it was fucking terrible.
I've got to get to searching.
Yeah, man.
Find a look at that.
Wikipedia or Google or something. There's not much surviving material of that on the internet, but I looked it up one time a few years ago out of curiosity to see like if I remembered how bad it was accurately, and I did. It was.
And you can find some
terrible.
Shit. Jesus Christ. All right. Well, that'll do it for the show. Any final closing words, thoughts?
No.
Be good to yourself.
Bah, weep, grana, weep, ninny, bong.